about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Don't you see? Daylight savings is just an imaginary construct.
It's daylight saving. It's not plural.
This is tearing us all apart.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And you'll get rid of daylight savings time.
Oh, my.
Saving.
I cannot do that. That is an impossible request.
Why? Because I'm Jewish?
Hey, Nat, don't forget, daylight saving ends tonight. I am sick of this daylight shenanigans. They're going to come here and take my... They're going to come into my house and take my hour.
No, the clocks go back. So we're gaining an hour. You get an extra hour. Well, in that case...
And now...
Plus, the day after daylight saving time, you're all messed up. And one time, my mom brought in my breakfast an hour late like an idiot. So I just threw it on the floor and I said, Mom, if I wanted to eat this, I would have eaten it an hour ago. But it threw off my whole bathroom schedule and I ended up having to poop in a Sunoco bathroom. Can you believe that?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 4th of November.
I just want to say I want a Jonah spinoff series.
Agreed.
I think he may have been my favorite Veep character. I want to spend some more time with the congressman.
He rules.
Hey, kids.
Hey.
Hi, Bean.
How's everybody? Allie, you were sick. You okay?
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah?
Had a hell of a weekend, though.
Hell of a weekend. Oh.
Ask her all the fun stuff she got to do.
Fun things I did. Yeah. It was
Allie,
awful.
Both ends?
Yeah. Mm. Thank you for asking.
I don't think we need that kind of clarification.
Oh, well, I mean, he was curious.
No, I know, but...
I like to satisfy his curiosity.
I'm detail-oriented, so... Mm-hmm.
You could call her.
Are you down to your holiday dress weight yet, or do you need one more bout of sickness?
No, gonna need a tapeworm for that. Oh. Yeah, I've been looking into it. Had a lot of time to Google over the weekend.
I tried very seriously to get Dr. Drew to sign off on me getting a tapeworm. I thought it was the perfect solution. And he had all sorts of BS medical reasons why he didn't think it was safe or healthy.
So he's always a buzzkill.
He is such a buzzkill.
That's the way he is, man.
I know. Allie texted me over the weekend that it was the worst kind of sick because it was the kind of sick where you can't even stay awake long enough to watch TV.
Yeah, just sitting there and you're like, oh, I can catch up on so much. And then 5 minutes into a show, I'm like,
I don't know what's happened. Started it again.
It's a mess.
Very sad. Well, I'm glad you're back. We missed you on Friday. Kevin, you had kids in sports, right? They went through the whole middle school, high school, the whole deal.
Yes.
Were you ever involved in any kind of sports where there were mercy rules, where you weren't allowed to run up the score? Did you have anything like that, where nobody could lose in soccer 10-0 or whatever?
No, but it was sort of, when kids are younger, it's sort of understood. It's one of those things where the other coach, you know, puts the players that aren't so good up front, and just they don't. Yeah. Run it up. It's not a rule, though, no.
In New York State, there is a rule. In Nassau County, there is a rule that if a team wins a game by more than four, this is football now, if a team wins a game by more than 42 points, the winning coach must explain to a special committee why such an outsized margin could not be avoided.
And wow. Life in prison.
That came into play this past week when the Plainage Red Devils beat the Southside Cyclones, who, by the way, were two undefeated teams. They beat them 61-13. And it was that last touchdown in the fourth quarter that put the team in violation because it made a 48-point margin of victory there. So the committee met and determined that the coach, Robert Shaver, would be suspended for the final game.
Wow.
And that he should have pulled his starters when he had a big lead at the start of the fourth quarter. And they found his explanation for why he did not lacking. He said, by the way, that the other team was really good and that he feared for a comeback. He feared for a 35-point comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
that's
by the way,
pretty big comeback.
It's a huge comeback.
It is doable, but almost not.
Almost impossible. Yeah. And I'm going to say that anyone who ever is worried about a comeback only has to look at the Falcons in the Super Bowl to think, you know what, just because it doesn't seem likely doesn't mean it can't happen.
But he could have pulled them at the, you know, beginning of the fourth quarter.
Well, this was in the, you know, this was.
Oh, I thought you said halftime. Okay.
Yeah, this was in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So he, you know, he says, look, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I don't really want to talk about it because I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is. But he said, you know, he also said that, you know, what are you teaching the kids? You know, what's the spirit of the rule is to prevent better teams from running up on the lesser programs. He said, but that's not what happened at all. He was just trying to teach his kids, you know, to play hard to the last whistle. Is he a bad guy here?
No, I mean, also, this is very close. I mean, the game was so close to that line, right? I mean, it wasn't like they blew him out 100-7 or something.
Right.
Like
this, it was 48 versus 42, which right. was their limit, yeah.
Very close. So it's like when he goes up to the courtroom or whatever,
whatever it is,
wherever yeah. they handle these deals, I feel like he had an easy way of explaining himself. But I'm weirded out by the idea of having a mercy rule committee in any way, shape, or form.
That has nothing to do with sports, by the way.
Bad.
I mean, those people are not coaches. You know what I mean? They're administrators, which is kind of weird to kind of tell the coach. And also, what if the other team was just terrible? What if they didn't even want to score, but they couldn't stop it because there was no one in front of them?
Just listen. Just hike the ball and fall down.
I mean, we've all seen the Dolphins play, right? I mean, it's possible.
This just in. Sometimes you lose games.
Yeah.
And sometimes you lose by a lot.
By a lot.
Uh-huh. And sometimes you get better because of it. Other times, your team just sucks the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
That's life.
I was a point guard in varsity basketball, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. high school, got beat by over 100 points.
Really?
In basketball.
Wow.
So you, sounds like a lot
so
of points.
You were good is what you're saying.
Oh, no, it's terrible. Uh-huh. I was the point guard, and they full court pressed the entire game, all the way through the end of the fourth quarter, and I probably had 60 turnovers.
I mean, at least.
They
beat you by over 100.
Over 100.
That's amazing. So, Allie, I think I'm with you. It sounds to me like these kids should have felt bad about losing 61-13, and they shouldn't have some third party come along and say, oh, no, it's not your fault. The other coach was a bad man for running up the score on you.
It's your fault. You stunk.
It's your fault for sucking.
You suck, and either get better or pick another sport. I mean, it's just, this is life.
Do you ever think about trying out for the plays?
Why are we coddling these kids
How old did you say?
High school.
This is high school.
High school. Okay. Mm-hmm.
High school,
good Lord. Even if they were in elementary school, F off, get better.
Have you looked at the AV club kids?
Yeah. Have you thought about drama?
Do you guys dig being indoors? You know what I mean?
Right.
You could clearly be into D&D or something.
In Connecticut, there is a similar policy where they just let the clock run. They don't stop the clock during the game at a certain point.
Oh, they just let it go. That's
just
weird.
Let it go, which is another way to handle it. But again, I don't. It's a mixed message to the kids. Play great until we tell you to stop playing great. You know what I mean?
And then also,
it
what
didn't
kind
sound
of...
like they were playing great at all, though.
No, I mean the winning team.
Oh, I see.
I mean the winning team. Yeah, because then they're saying essentially stop being good.
And what kind of weird Benny Hill situation do you get into once you have to start playing bad? You know what I mean? Like
yes.
If you're close to scoring a touchdown, do you then just like turn around and run the other way and then fall? Like how do you get away with not scoring again?
If you were my AYSO team, the Yellow Jackets,
Yellow Jackets.
Oh, we were the worst team ever. I was the high scorer. I scored one goal.
Your team had one goal the whole season.
One goal the whole season.
Wow.
So coaches used to start giving us their players, so they'd like split up their team.
Even it up a little bit?
We still stunk.
You made those players worse.
Yeah, yeah, and it was hysterical. That's good times. High score, one goal all season. That's mine. No one can take that from me.
Yeah,
no one will probably ever beat it either.
They shouldn't.
I guess my high school is good at sports now, which is very weird. The Calabasas mm-hmm. High is good at sports because when I went there, it was like, you know, 99.9% Jewish, which means we were terrible at sports. But the only time I played football was when we were down 40 points.
Oh.
Like, that's the only time I got to play.
Where's Jensen? Get him in
yeah,
there.
Like, if we got rid of that, I would.
You were on the football team?
I was.
Oh,
what?
My gosh.
I know.
How's that
picture
possible?
Is so funny. I'll try to get my obviously, my mom's museum has it.
All 4 years?
No. I played, like,
freshman
one year. Yeah.
Okay.
And my freshman year... my freshman year photo, I have, like, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas cut of, like, that, like,
nice.
Mushroom head
yeah.
thing.
Need it.
But I'm also holding a football, you know, like you're supposed to. But
uh-huh.
I'm holding it terrible. Like, I've never held a football before.
Are you sassy in it? Or, just awkward.
It's not hold. Like, I've never held one. Like, I went through practice without touching the ball for a whole summer. But, yeah, I did. I played during trash time.
Yeah.
Yeah, not well.
Garbage time.
Yeah. I think the only reason I had 15, 20-something yards is because... By the time I was in, the other team had their scrubs
they
in as well.
They left to go to the locker room.
Yeah, they were exhausted.
Yeah, their scrubs were like, we don't care.
You need to start a team that is available for anybody that needs it. So this in this particular example,
right.
They could have gone bring in the Jensen team.
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys would be there.
All right, we're here to make sure you score.
Oh, no.
Seems bad. Seems all bad. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Am I in hell? I deserve this.
How dare you? 21 pilots in studio.
Yes.
Whoa.
Wow. Nice boys.
They're excited about that. I don't like the way you said nice boys.
No, I'm saying they're nice boys. They seem like really, really decent guys from what I understand.
Bean had quite the weekend. Bean versus Daylight Savings.
Oh, yes.
I'm exhausted.
You must be.
I'm exhausted.
The fingers of fire were just going crazy.
I can't go through this again. We've got to change the law in this country. We can't do this anymore.
I mean, that, or you could just give up and go, I lose.
No.
It's all right.
Look, what's the thing about good people who do nothing? I don't want to be that guy. I don't feel I did that quote justice.
No, you didn't. It's also more a morality thing than it is a plural versus singular, I think, in your example.
Well, you could. It's nice that you can pick and choose right and wrong.
All right. Great news, because it's Monday and it's 7:15, K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 2. We'll give you that announcement as well. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Details this morning at 7:15 on Night 2 of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. You do not want to miss it. Don't forget, tickets are on sale now for Night 1 as of this past Friday. So get them while while you can. Could have said that better.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening on this Monday?
How are you all doing with that extra hour of sleep?
Fine. Good.
Did you feel good about it?
Sure.
You enjoyed it?
Mm-hmm.
You woke up Sunday, you're like, I don't know what time it is.
Actually, last night I forgot to set 1 o'clock.
Oh, no.
And I was like, holy crap, it's already 9?
Oh.
It was 8.
Yeah, it was 8.
Oh, man.
I didn't set that one specific clock.
How'd you move on?
It was a beautiful moment. I was like, yes.
Yeah, it feels good.
I'm going to do it from now on. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave my clocks the way they are and just go, yes, I have another hour.
That will not backfire at all.
Yeah, that won't get confusing at all.
No, especially with appointments.
I definitely wake up the day of setting clocks forward or back and wonder which of my clocks does it automatically, and then I go around to each one confused. I wind up Googling what time is it right now in L.A. It's a real pain. We've got to stop this, right?
Do. Because it's hard to set your clocks?
Yes, that, and let's just stop this.
It's
There's no point
time.
To doing it.
Yeah.
It's just absurd.
Well, I mean, California is one of the leading states in trying to do permanent daylight saving time, but
it's all or nothing. The whole U.S. has to come together and say,
that's the problem.
There's one
that's
thing we know, it's that that's easily done.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we can agree on everything.
No problem. I remember the stories of Jimmy Kimmel saying it took months for him to get back to normal.
Yep.
Which
really threw him off.
Yeah. That's concerning.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But I kind of enjoy it. Kevin, you see any movies this weekend?
I didn't.
Oh.
What?
Wanted to, but just didn't.
Kevin!
I don't even know you anymore.
I would have bet everything that you saw Terminator Dark Fate. You didn't.
No, but I want to.
A lot of,
does that help?
A lot of people had your plan this weekend.
Uh-oh.
It fell significantly short of expectations, but still came in number one at the box office. $29 million in North America, enough for first place. But it was expected to make at least over $40
million. That is funny.
I don't think they think it's that funny. Mm. But here's the thing. To break even for Dark Fate, this is according to Deadline, they need to make $470 million.
Oh.
What?
What?
Well, bringing back Arnold, bringing back Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
Big budget pieces.
Yeah.
But 470?
I think that's all press as well, like all the money they spent on marketing. Because according to the budget, it was 185 to 196
Whoa.
Million. So that's a lot in itself. But to then say to break even 470, so that's marketing and that's all the exact. That's a lot.
That's
of money,
a lot of money,
you guys.
My sunglasses were damaged.
That seems
well.
They must have been expensive. That probably was part of it.
Yeah, that probably factored.
It's a million
into
right
the
there.
470 million. Coming in at number two, Joker. Number three, Maleficent. Number four, Harriet. And rounding out the top five, the Addams Family. The Joker, though, that's not stopping.
No,
it's getting near a billion, right?
It is. It's in this article that I'm scrolling to find.
Oh. Say it's near a billion.
It is near a billion.
It's like 900 and change.
Yeah. It's approaching the list of 50 highest grossing films of all time, you guys.
All right.
That's insane.
A lot of laughing.
A lot of laughing.
It's well done. It's just, okay.
The laughing creeped you out.
No, it's just they went to the laugh 7,000 times, and I thought maybe 6,999 are good.
Can I interest you?
Okay, heard it.
Was that the laugh?
No, that's Doto.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say that would get annoying.
Oh, no, but it's an annoying laugh.
Okay.
It certainly is.
All right. Filmmaker Peyton Reed will return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe to direct Ant-Man 3, you guys. Ant-Man 3. Paul Rudd, of course, expected to return as well. Here's my favorite sentence.
I think that was Joker stuff.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, the third Ant-Man movie will shoot at the end of 2020 or the beginning of 2021 for a probable 2022 release.
Wow.
So you don't really know anything.
We've been given no information.
Yeah. It could be out anytime.
Jensen, can you make 2022?
Well, there's no date yet.
There's no month.
As of right now, 2022 is not good for me because there's a lot of sort of things already planned.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when we get the date, I'll check it for real.
How about April 8th, 2022?
Okay, hold on. Well, I'm out late the 7th.
Okay.
So
maybe you could take a nap on the 8th.
Right now, I'm currently free on the 8th.
Okay.
But I'm just saying... A lot of late night on 7th, some possibly not. But when we get closer, maybe next month I'll figure it out.
Can I interest you in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse?
Okay, what date?
That sequel is April 8th, 2022.
Yeah, the 7th I have a bar mitzvah I'm going to.
Yeah.
But the 8th I might be free. But finally hit one maybe.
Well, that's the 7th you said you were going to be up late.
Yeah, the bar mitzvah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No one's up late at a bar
mitzvah. Oh, no, it starts at like 10. The kid is a night owl.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's his adulthood.
This is not true.
Yeah, he does the Hof Torah at like 10:30. But the reason he's an adult is because, like, I'm out late. Like, he's all excited, a little unlit
cigar.
That's
kind of his new brand.
Yeah, unlit cigar, big top hat.
None of this is real.
It's a Monopoly theme.
I kind of wish it was, because I would go to a 13-year-old's 10:30 p.m. bar mitzvah. That would be awesome. Well, the official Spider-Verse Twitter account made the announcement on Friday, teasing the return of the teen web-slinger Miles Morales. You guys know how much that made worldwide?
Tons.
$375 million worldwide, and won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
And was fantastic.
So good, yeah.
It seems
really
like it came
good.
Out of nowhere, and no one was really prepared for it. However, a sequel was in development before the original even hit theater, so somebody knew.
Gosh, I love movies.
Well, great to hear, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Jeff Probst, Diddy, Kathy Griffin, Ralph Macchio, and Matthew McConaughey. And
I don't want to give anything away here, but we have to call out somebody on the program in about 15 minutes. Somebody on this show, someone we know and work with, actually said, "Don't you know who I am?" recently.
Yes!
No.
Which... is
yes, I mean,
but we'll, jokingly
we'll give him or her the chance to explain, but I am telling you generally, "Don't you know who I am" is murder buddy.
It was a joke
concerned.
Though it wasn't
we'll
serious.
Find out we'll find out we'll find out
you guys
don't you know
so fun,
who
right?
I am
it's totally me.
Somebody said that's coming up on K-Rock.
Bean fights the world at daylight savings time
saving
right whatever.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
So he goes on Twitter and he finds like all these different accounts that have it wrong, and he corrects them.
Yeah.
Well, so the listeners, my Time Army is out there hooking me up.
Your Time Army.
They're out there basically just sending me every violator.
That's so funny.
So that I can bring down the hammer on them.
Here, Bean, take them down. So
well,
city of
yeah, because and let me just say, just by means of setting up. Here's the thing. First of all, we're on standard time now. So for all the morons who said, "Oh, it's daylight saving time this weekend," it's not.
Right,
okay? It's the end of daylight saving
time. All right,
time.
Let me just butt in and say one thing.
Yes.
I think in the past it's always been the one thing. You don't put an S on it. Now it starts or ends. So there's two things you
there's
can
two
get
things.
Wrong.
Yeah.
He's mad at the spelling and the definition.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, because people just don't care enough to get it right. And here's the other thing that I'm going to say, just because there may be people listening who've never heard us fight this battle before.
You fight this battle.
And I assume I have all of you on my side with this. And
sure.
That is that it's not a style question where it can be either one, saving or savings. One is correct. The other one is incorrect.
Yeah, but that always happens before they finally go, "All right, we give up. They both work."
So why not just call it what it's called? I mean, have we all forgotten the Uniform Time Code Act of 1966? I mean, what country is this anymore?
No, that's front and center for me.
Okay, as long as we all keep that in mind.
Uh-huh. From the
all right,
city
back to you.
From the city and county of Denver, daylight savings time ends tonight. Remember to set your clocks back. Bean quote tweets, "Put down the bong and learn it's hashtag daylight. It's not hashtag daylight savings."
Right. The whole city's high.
Yes.
Okay. Down the
you know how Colorado is with their wacky tobacco.
Okay.
Runner's World, which I know Bean keeps up with, says don't forget about daylight saving time tonight.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
All right.
Good.
Bean Wright quote tweets, ending. Don't forget about daylight saving time ending this weekend.
Oh,
so now
my
it's
gosh.
Not just the S, it's whether it's starting or ending as well.
I wish they would have tweeted back, how do we run away from you, sir?
He has too much time on his hands.
This is a listener. Hey, Bean, as this is your final daylight saving time as part of the Kevin and Bean Show, I wanted you to see that after years of correcting this sign at my work, this year, they finally got it right.
Wow.
You may now leave in peace knowing that you've made a difference. Bean quote tweets, they almost got it right.
Oh, no.
Standard time starts this Sunday.
Oh, no.
Tiff wasn't even happy with it.
Nope.
That guy felt so good sending that in.
And he was like, hey, it's working. Congrats.
Yeah.
Bean cannot stand for that.
No.
Because remember what he said, when good people, that thing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Fall
yes.
back and blah, mm-hmm. blah.
NBC right. News, what can we do in the days leading up to the end of daylight savings time to ease the transition? Bean quote tweets, A, stop sexually harassing your employees. B, it's daylight saving, not savings. No S.
Right. Got him.
So, now, am I wrong to expect better of a news organization? Shouldn't they actually check stuff like that before they tweet it out?
They should.
Means a daylight savings, asshole!
But they don't.
Mm-hmm. Taking Back Sunday tweets.
Oh,
no.
The band.
Very popular band.
Yes. Not Taking Back Sunday.
Don't forget about daylight savings time ending this weekend. Fall back. What are you guys going to do with the extra hour? By the way, stop asking that question.
Yeah. Also, who's running Taking Back Sunday social media? A 50-year-old woman? What is that?
Bean quote tweets and says, I'm going to tweet you guys and say that it's saving, not savings.
Right.
That's what he's going to do with the whole hour.
Yeah, yep. For the whole hour.
Yeah, I stayed up till 2 just to make sure I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Jim Boy's Tacos.
That world famous tacos.
Right? You have to make sure they get it right. They tweet, remember that tomorrow is daylight savings time, so one more hour to sleep or one more hour for tacos. Hashtag priorities. Bean quote tweets, tacos are a great food, so is knowing it's daylight saving, not savings, time that is ending this weekend.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
You go to hell, Jim Boy's Tacos.
Oh, no.
And finally, Time. In the most
that is insane.
In the most ironic
magazine.
Time magazine.
Oh.
In the most ironic one ever, Time says, time to set back your clocks. Daylight savings returns Sunday.
I mean, that is disgusting, Bean. I'm with you there.
Bean quote tweets and says, your name is Time! How can you make two mistakes in the tweet about changing the clocks? Daylight saving, not savings, ends Sunday. So B was on a tear.
B, you should go
about an hour from right now. Let's be honest. We're saying 7:15.
Ish.
Mm-hmm. We're going to give you details on the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas night number 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, we are. Hey, there's a podcast called The B-Team. If you haven't heard about it and you are a big fan of this show and our podcast, The Kevin and Bean Show, you may be interested in The B-Team. So it's DJ Omar Khan. It's producer Dave, King of Mexico, and it's our own Beer Mug. And they basically they do their own stuff too, but they mostly tell stories about the behind the scenes of the Kevin and Bean Show, revisit past topics and tape. And this most recent episode includes a portion of the interview with the great Bobby Boris Pickett, by the way. The Monster Mash Man. Mm-hmm. So that alone makes it worth downloading. But apparently somebody told a story on the podcast.
Who was that somebody, Bean?
Somebody told a story where somebody actually said in real life, not for comedy and not ironically, don't you know who I am?
Now, that line has always just meant death to us.
Like, absolutely.
Anyone that uses that, got no time for you in my life.
Right.
Who do you think that person might be?
Let's see. DJ Omar Khan. Uh-huh. He would do it comedically.
Well, they don't say it's someone on the podcast. It could be someone off the podcast, right? No. I mean, it could be anyone on the show.
Then me.
Well, I don't think it was you.
Oh, it wasn't. Okay.
You would know that.
I don't think it was you.
I would say Dave. That's a very Dave King of Mexico thing to say.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Oh, mugs.
You didn't.
Listen
mugs.
To me.
But your beer mug.
Exactly. First of all, two things. Number one, I hate whenever I'm in public and somebody has to tell somebody who what I do, who I work for, what my
you
name
hate
is.
That.
I hate that.
Uh-huh.
It makes me super uncomfortable.
Right. Hold on. Number two.
You're a loser.
Hey, whoa. We'll get to that part. It makes
just so you know, you're not in charge of this.
Well, hold on. I want to okay. defend myself. It makes me super uncomfortable whenever we're out in public and somebody wants to tell somebody who I am. Number two, I did not use the specific words, do you know who I am? But sort of, kind of, a little bit. I was at...
Good defense.
That's a hell of a defense, yeah. Muggs. I don't know how we can poke holes in that.
The jury will like to come up with its now, judgment now.
A lot of people will assume, and rightfully so, that there are a lot of benefits that come with this job, mm-hmm. and working for K-Rock.
Mm-hmm. It's both. Some people hate, some people
right.
love.
Right. So,
you never know.
A lot of the times, it goes with the I don't like for people to kind of tell
Stop
other people
saying
who
that.
I am.
You're
I don't.
The person that said
I don't.
This.
So when it comes to, like, me getting benefits from something, I will always opt out. Like, whether if I'm in Las Vegas and, like, you know, they're going to hook up somebody, you know, from the media with a table. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want
That's good, because that's what you do for us.
I don't.
So, he's so great. He's that's like, excellent. When I get benefits, like, things that'll help my job,
right.
I say no.
Oh,
just,
an interview opportunity? Just
no way.
Makes me uncomfortable.
When there are things that are beneficial for the Kevin and Bean Show, I look them straight in the eyes and I say, not today, Satan.
So I want to let you guys. You guys know, through my 13 years with the Kevin and Bean Show mm-hmm. and 15 with K-Rock, mm-hmm. I have never once okay. used my job to get me something. Okay?
Were you at one point, let's say, at a strip club?
Yes, I was, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
do you have a shirt from said strip club?
Well, so the whole thing was, I was sitting there, and the strip club DJ gets on the mic and goes, all right, gentlemen, it is time. 2-for-1 lap dances. Get your 2-for-1 lap dances. You will not only get a two-song dance with the lovely ladies here at Spearmint Rhino, but you will get a Spearmint Rhino t-shirt thrown into the 2-for-1 deal.
All right, so let me just stop you right there. How is it possible that at this point you use the words or very close to, don't you know who I am?
Because right now it seems like it's for a shirt and 2 dances.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Once I heard lap dances, whatever. Once I heard free Spearmint Rhino shirt,
sure.
I could not.
Well, that would push anyone over the edge.
Turn this down.
Okay.
So then I go up to it appeared to be one of the bouncers. I was
before
like,
you say this, yeah. couldn't you have just gotten the dance and the shirt?
I didn't want to spend the $60 for the 2-for-1.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm a
so
working
wait,
father.
So hold on a yeah. second. Mm-hmm. So they offered you a free T-shirt with the lap dance,
yeah.
but you wanted the free T-shirt without the lap dance?
Yeah, because you have
you go to hell, you
Amen.
Son of a bitch.
Amen. They're putting themselves through college.
Oh my
Look,
God!
You heard Friends with Benefits and said, "I'll take Friends."
Here's the thing: I didn't want to have to pay for the lap dance. I just want to work my way around that and go straight to the shirt. So I go to the bouncer. I go, "Hey, man, what's going on?" My name is, I actually work for a radio Uh-oh. Station right here.
This is what you hate now. I just want to clarify.
This is what I hate.
You hate this.
But I said, you know what? I've never used it in my life.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to start now. So I go, I work at the world famous K-Rock. It's a radio station here in L.A.
Hate you.
My name is Beer Mug from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Murder,
right? My name is Beer Mug from the Kevin and Bean Show. I was wondering if I could get one of those sweet Spearmint Rhino shirts without kind of like having to get the lab. Just get the shirt. Just hook it up. You know, maybe you know, because I'll.
Are you on cocaine right now?
I wish. Do you have some?
He's got a lot of energy.
At the strip club or right now?
No, oh. both, but go ahead.
So I said, you know, it'd be cool if I get one of those shirts because, like, I, you know, I'm in the studio a lot and there's a lot of social media and cameras.
Oh, wow.
So,
I'm in the public eye.
So the guy,
I need a shirt.
So the bouncer's like, hold on, let me see what I could do. So he walks away, and then 10 minutes later, comes back.
By the
10
way, minutes? 10-minute conversation. Hey, there's a total weirdo outside. He says he works for a radio station. How much do those shirts cost us? $1? Honestly, it's worth it. Let's get this guy off our
back. Get him to go away.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, my first ever benefit from working from the Kevin and Bean Show, a Spearmint Rhino Gentleman's Club t-shirt that I haven't worn once.
Was it worth selling your soul to get it?
If it was an extra large and not a double X, maybe.
They didn't even give him the right size. They must have heard you on the radio.
Minutes away from all the details of night number 2 of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, coming up around 7:15 or so here on K-Rock. So last week, our heads were spinning with the news on Thursday that My Chemical Romance was getting back together.
That's one of my top favorite bands that I was just dying for them to get back together. And Thursday, I was like, yes, thank you, God.
Mm-hmm. And you probably thought at the time, well, that's the biggest reunion news I'll ever hear. No, nothing will ever top that now that My Chem is getting back together.
Mm-hmm. Certainly not the next day.
And then 24 hours later, Rage Against the Machine put up on their Instagram that they also are getting back together for a very small number of shows. Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and then two dates at Coachella in April. That's it so far. Anyway, Rage Against the Machine, did you ever think it would happen, Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, they have reunited several times since they broke up.
Mm-hmm. But what was the last time? Like,
nine years ago or something?
2011, I think.
Something. 2007, I thought? But anyway, either way, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. But I also don't think, I'm sure it has a lot to do with money, but I also don't think the fact that it's 2020 election year is lost on them.
Right.
Yes. Yes. They are a band who likes to have something to protest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty to protest. I think the reason I was surprised about this one is that Zach is so mysterious, mm-hmm. and it just seemed like he had zero interest because he has so little public profile, I guess, as part of it. It's not like a guy who's getting interviewed all the time, like Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, who every week has to say, no, we're not doing a reunion. Mm-hmm. You just never heard from Zach. And it just seemed to me like he just moved on and wasn't interested at all while the other guys continue to work in other bands. So I guess it was hard to gauge behind, you know, without having information of whether he was ever going to be into it or not.
Here's what I would say. I would say that it doesn't surprise me that they reunited. Mm-hmm. It did surprise me Friday that they were reuniting for Coachella next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't a surprise that they got back together for a few shows.
Because most we've heard from Zach is he showed up on the Run the Jewels albums,
yes.
right? I mean, there's really no Rage-esque kind of music he's doing.
No,
right,
really.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, would that be number one on your list? That's got to be number one on your list, right, Kevin?
Yep, number one and two right there.
Who else needs to reunite to make our hearts happy?
Presidency of the United States of America?
I mean, look, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah, that was just a joke for me, though.
Oh, Allie, who do you have left on your wish list for bands to reunite?
Well, first off, when Mr. Bungle said they were reuniting, you know that made me so happy. So now I've got Mr. Bungle back together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you did that.
I did that, yeah.
Wow.
If those guys can do it, I think a Potato and his brother could get back together, right? Oasis.
That would be awesome.
And I think that will absolutely happen.
That's
don't
kind
you?
Of the one left. I mean, as far as like real white whale, like the one people think could
well,
never happen.
The Smiths, I think a
Ooh,
lot.
That
of people.
Would be big too.
Yeah, but you have,
I don't
Go
want
ahead,
it
say
to happen.
You have the jerk.
You have a shaky guy right in the middle of there.
I don't need the Smiths to get back together.
Yeah.
Guys, I think the Smiths reuniting would be huge.
Oh, it absolutely would.
People would go insane
absolutely.
Over a chance to see a band that most people are too young to have ever seen live. You know
Half
what I mean?
Half of the people that buy tickets will get to see them.
Maybe.
If you're lucky.
I wrote a couple this weekend.
Okay. I have a couple as well. You
okay.
go first.
First, me, I'm thinking White Stripes.
I thought about that too, but Jack can do all the White Stripes songs he wants without Meg.
But it's still a legacy kind of thing. It's like, mm-hmm. and also they were always such an enigma as far as being divorced while they were still a band. Like there's something about them that was magical at a certain point.
I agree.
And I think seeing them both on stage again as a two-piece kind of, you know what I mean? Like there's something there.
I think Meg has retired from music and she's just a housewife now.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say just a housewife?
What I mean is she's
no,
retired from
so
music.
Not like she's playing in other bands or anything.
Right. That's what I mean. Is she's just she's a homemaker now.
Also, a woman's place is the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Clearly.
I have, besides Oasis,
okay.
The Fugees.
Yeah, that would be.
Would love to see them back together.
It hasn't worked out in the past where they've
hasn't.
Tried it, but that would be a dream.
And Fugazi. Right? Who's with me?
Fugazi.
Hello? All right.
While we're talking about ones that probably won't get a big reaction, I think I'd like to see Genesis back together.
Oh, he can't even drum or anything.
He can sing, though. He has been going out and singing and stuff.
He can sing, yeah.
I don't know if he'd be able to drum, but you get all the Genesis work, great musicians, and you get Phil Collins singing.
Okay.
Do we need all of that?
Well, like I said, I wasn't looking for a big applause there.
Okay. All right, I've got a couple
right.
that have not been mentioned. Civil Wars.
Sure.
Civil Wars.
Yeah.
One of the great bands of the 21st century.
I'm with them.
Broken up with complete misterioso. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea whether they'll ever get together again. But they were magic together. Both have good solo careers. Magic together, though. ABBA.
Oh, okay. Come okay. on.
I think what we have about enough ABBA?
They're no. 90.
We have enough.
They're not 90. They're the biggest band in the world, Kevin. No band
not.
Has been more successful than ABBA. Why not ABBA? They do have a new single coming out next month.
We don't need ABBA. I've never said we need more ABBA.
Okay. How about this one? Destiny's Child.
They did it for the Super Bowl, right?
Yes. Right. Any interest, or is it just
Coachella,
all you need is Beyonce?
We're always looking. Man, I'm always like, where is that Michelle Williams? Not the one in the movies, but the other one. Yeah. Or LaToya, or whatever the other one's name was.
All right. One more just for you, Jensen. Mm-hmm. Outkast.
Would be great.
Oh, that would be great.
And here's the thing. They did reunite for Coachella, and people were super unhappy with 1 week and then happy with the other week.
Yeah.
And then I saw them a couple weeks later at this BET Experience show at Staples, and it was phenomenal. So there is hope that one day Andre 3000 won't want to just be a guy with a flute walking around Starbucks and instead want to go rap.
I'm
going to
say Nick on the line has one that we didn't mention yet, and we certainly should have.
Okay.
Morning, Nick.
Hey guys, first let me just say thank you so much. I've been listening since I was a little kid, and honestly, I have a tear in my eye. I just can't believe that you're going. And you know, Kevin, I just wish you well.
Thank you, and Ellie and Jensen.
Kevin, good luck with retirement.
Good luck, man.
Nick, what about a band that you need to get back together that we haven't mentioned?
Okay, I got two. Number one by far is Oingo Boingo. Boingo.
Oh, Oingo.
Boingo. The problem is Danny Elfman's been over that for so long.
Yeah.
But he does do an Oingo Boingo song here or there,
here
correct?
Or there, yeah.
You know, just once at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
that was
so
it.
Cool.
Huh. That was it.
You were there, right, Ellie?
No, it was Chip.
Oh, I was there. Okay. Yes, Nick, go ahead.
Okay, and the other one would be I would like Kanye West to reunite with himself so that we can actually get some good music like back in the day because that guy is just whack.
The old Kanye reunited.
I like it.
Hey, Kevin, have fun in England, bro.
Thank you, man. Thank you, I will.
I love you, man.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much.
Bye, Kevin.
7:15 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to tell you all about the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number 2.
That's coming up in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And between now and then, we have some great news for you because it's Monday here on K-Rock. Allie's here now. Time for another look at what's happening.
I feel like I would have liked to have seen this, you guys. So Universal Studios Horror Nights in L.A., just finishing up, but they still had stuff on Friday, which I kind of enjoy. And Chrissy Teigen and her husband, John Legend, were there, and they went in onesies because they went with a group of friends and let's go and we'll all wear onesies. It'll be fun. Here's the thing. John Legend, apparently, according to his wife, got wine drunk. And decided that he would, I'm not going to say berate a DJ, but walked up to a DJ and was like, can I get up there and sing? And he got up and sang a song at Universal Studios Horror Nights in L.A.
The guy is drunk!
Chrissy Teigen posted the video to Twitter, writing bluntly, John got wine drunk and sang a song at Universal Studios last night. In a follow-up, she explained, the whole joke was supposed to be that literally no one was watching or at the stage, but when he got on the stage, he was like, it's me, John Legend!
Give me a free spearmint rhino shirt.
Do you know who I am?
Legend, however, posted a slightly different version of events. He said, we went to Universal Studios last night to do Horror Nights before they shut it down. Costume theme was onesies. We bought a few and raided the closet too and found the perfect one for me to wear. Someone made Chrissy a onesie with my face on it, and of course I had to wear it. Then I found a reluctant DJ with a mic, and I serenaded myself. It was a night.
Everybody here is thinking, you know what? This guy's drunk.
I kind of love that about John Legend.
I'm not really under. I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
Okay, there he is talking about his event. How much would you pay for Olivia Newton-John's iconic black leather ensemble from Greece?
I smell it.
I don't know about that. We made a big production out of talking about the Kurt Cobain cardigan that was unwashed.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair for me to ask the same question about Olivia's grease outfit. Washed or unwashed?
I will say this. She had to be sewn into the pants for filming. That's how tight they were. They sewed them onto her.
That doesn't answer Bean's question.
I don't have the answer to your question.
Smells like donkey ass.
Okay. It was one worn during the film's final musical number, You're the One That I Want, alongside, of course, John Travolta. It sold to an anonymous bidder for $243,200. However, the matching leather pants that she had to be sewn into?
Yes.
$162,500. To a different anonymous bidder. They split up the outfit.
Daddy's making soup.
Oh, God.
That might be the worst thing you've ever said.
Oh, my God.
Thursday can't come quick enough.
Oh, my God.
Do we have to wait till Thursday?
Remember where you are, so you remember where you are right now.
All the proceeds from the sale of the jacket and pants, totaling $405,700, will benefit the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Wellness and Research Center.
That guy has to put them on at some point, right?
It's two different people.
No, but the pants. I'm thinking mostly pants.
Oh, I don't think you'd even fit in the pants.
But he'd try.
I don't think so either.
I think he'd try. Lube it up. Put them on.
Oh, like his legs
to
get in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure everything, but the legs for sure.
I hate everything.
Third leg as well.
This story, it's just...
Hello!
It's just not good anymore.
I agree.
Guys, it's just not good. So, did you guys discuss the Delta Airlines sex scenes story on Friday?
No, but I'm so outraged by this entire story. I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, Booksmart director Olivia Wilde first discovered an issue with her movie Booksmart during a flight, and she tweeted about it. Basically, all the same-sex love scenes, which are kind of a huge part of this movie, were edited from the movie on the plane on Delta. And then people started responding, yes, same thing with Rocket Man, which is interesting because that's kind of the whole movie. Delta said they will restore same-sex love scenes to its in-flight versions of the 2019 movies Booksmart and Rocket Man. The airline said Friday that it was provided an edited version of the film without realizing the one showing on flights omitted the key same-sex love scenes involved with its lead characters. They said, this was our bad. It's not going to happen again. But Olivia Wilde's whole thing was, you keep in graphic violence, but you don't depict two women kissing each other.
I thought they always edited stuff on a plane.
They do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of violence on planes.
Yeah.
Yeah, violence.
I'm talking about the movies.
But they do edit out most, anything that's beyond a kiss, they edit out. Because they just don't want, you know, they don't want to deal with people who are like, oh, my kids walked by your seat and saw people kissing. You know what I mean?
But then I don't understand, because I was on a plane recently and I was flipping to the cable channels, right? And I could just watch anything I wanted on the cable channels.
That doesn't make any sense. That's inconsistent
live TV,
for sure.
Right. Yeah.
There was that one scene in Booksmart that involved them being on the bathroom floor and it got pretty graphic. And I can understand a scene like that. But this is the thing that gets me. If they're literally editing out girls kissing, that's insane.
So stupid.
Insane. What century is this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad that they are revisiting the policy. And I know it's impossible to make everybody happy. But it sure seemed unfair to me.
Yeah,
I will never forget my friend Rosa's mother telling us the story of her flying from New Jersey to L.A. and she was watching Bridesmaids. And at the beginning, where Kristen Wiig is having sex with John Hamm, and the pilot came on to announce something, so the screen froze, and she was so mortified, and she hit the woman next to her. She's like, do not look at this. Do not look. It's just frozen here. It's just frozen.
That's
not what you want to see.
That's the best way to get someone to look at it.
Yeah.
She was freaking out. Like, I am not watching porn. This is stuck right here. It's stuck right now. I think about that every time I think of John Hamm, Kristen Wiig.
That's pretty strong.
Just this cute little woman losing her mind on a plane for 20 seconds that it was frozen on her screen.
I watched the first Final Destination on a plane.
That's never good.
No.
Watch plane crash movies
but it was
on a
there,
plane.
It was there on the cable. It
they
was like,
shouldn't allow
now
that.
I have to watch it.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I feel like I have to cover up my iPad when I'm watching stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's because you're what you're watching.
Porn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some birthdays for you. Matthew McConaughey, Ralph Macchio, Kathy Griffin, Jeff Probst, and Diddy. Happy.
Details on K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, night two, coming up at 7:15.
And the band 21 Pilots joins us in studio for a rare stop by the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 o'clock. So a lot of good stuff coming up. First, though, Monday mornings being what on the Kevin and Bean Show?
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of you have seen this already, but because it happened last on Halloween. But the day after this was posted and it went viral, and it's a little 8-year-old kid.
You're right up there.
We got a stenographer.
An angry letter.
Oh, are you guys talking to me?
No, it's just you're typing quite loudly.
I'm so sorry.
No worries.
It's just getting some information from Dave. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Show business.
There's a behind-the-scenes look at show business, kids.
Yes.
So he's in.
No, I meant I was doing show business. Oh. I wasn't just writing a strongly worded letter. It was actually something relevant to the program. Go ahead.
Gotcha. All right. So in this family in Maryland, the husband was a firefighter and he had to work. So the mom took the kid out trick-or-treating, mm-hmm. and they put out a little bowl of candy for the kids to help themselves. It was a help themselves thing.
8-year-old Jackson Champagne came away with a pretty good haul on Halloween.
Sour Patch Kids. Nerds.
But it's the candy he didn't bring home that he's most proud of. Around 7:30 last night, Jackson and his sister Gracie were trick-or-treating in Gambrels when they came to a house on Symphony Lane.
There ain't no more candy!
So he looks in the container and there's no more candy. And he goes, there ain't no more candy!
Oh,
well,
Jackson.
Now hold on a second. Let me guess. I hope he burns the place down. If they're out of candy, right?
I thought he would take the container because it was like a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. I thought they would take that and he would just run off. That's what,
yeah.
That's what 8-year-old me would have done. Thankfully, he's not me.
Candy. Oh, no.
Disappointed, Jackson didn't want other kids to walk away empty-handed. So on a night measured by how much candy you take home, he decided he would give some back.
There you go.
What made you say...
So he takes candy out of his bag and puts it in the container, reaches back to his bag, puts some more in the container.
So the next kids will have something. Oh.
Yes.
I'm going to leave candy.
For the other kids who, when they walk up to the house, they don't have candy there, and then they're sad.
His mom, Danielle, couldn't believe it.
And I had a moment, mommy moment, and I was like, I patted myself on the back, like, aw. I was like, that's my son.
Unbeknownst to Jackson, the whole thing was caught on camera, and watching it all unfold in real time was Prince George's firefighter, Kevin Hodges.
So I immediately took a clip of it and sent it to her. I said, check this kid out. Like, you won't believe it.
His wife, Leslie, felt compelled to share Jackson's spur-of-the-moment generosity with the world.
For a child to do that without being prompted, you know, it was just really neat. So I said, other people need to see this right now.
Dad Tyler couldn't be more proud.
You try to teach your kids without pushing it on them or forcing it on them, you know, giving back.
Skittles.
So the next time you're arguing over when the holidays begin, take Jackson's advice. When it comes to the season of giving, you can never start too early.
Aww.
That kid does not understand Halloween.
And his name is Jackson Champagne. Yeah, like, how cool is that kid?
That's a rough name, I think.
Awesome.
And he got to unload all of his candy corn, too. So that's a side benefit.
How dare you?
And that's my great news.
My great news has to do with school picture day. I don't know about you guys, but as a kid, that, like, oh, what are you going to wear? This is a big deal. You talk to your friends on the phone the night before, like, I don't know, I might wear yellow. Not me. I look washed out. It's a whole thing. But for this little boy, Camden Beck, he had just had it. So here's what happened. It's school picture day. He comes down in a shirt. His mom says, no, that doesn't work. Goes back upstairs. That one doesn't work. He finally came down in 3 shirts, wearing them all at once. And his mom's like, okay, that is it, Jackson. Sends him back up to his room.
I thought his name was Camden.
Camden, I'm sorry.
Jackson was my kid.
Wow, I'm stealing his name. That's how great of a name it was. Jackson Champagne. No, this is Camden Beck. So he came back downstairs, and that's when another battle ensued.
Got upset with me.
Camden marched upstairs because, admittedly,
I kind of got, like, hangry. That's something.
Just one shirt on. So he instantly got upset with me.
Camden marched upstairs.
just one shirt on.
Okay.
So he instantly got upset with me.
Camden marched upstairs because, admittedly,
I don't know what's happening right now, but I like it.
Remix!
Here we go.
I kind of got, like, hangry. That's something I do.
Instead of changing into actual clothes, he put on his hot dog costume.
And we had already been battling over it for probably 20 minutes. We were going to be late, and I'm like, fine, just wear the hot dog. I don't care. He'll change his mind when he gets to school. It will be fine.
But Camden kept it on.
He wore his costume all day, and when he came home, I said, did you get your pictures with the hot dog on? He said, yeah.
These school pictures became the talk of the town, but it didn't end there.
It was my birthday. I got an avocado costume.
For his 9th birthday, Cam got this avocado costume. And guess what he did on school picture day this year?
What's an avocado costume?
I'm in love with this kid because he's like, you know what? Wore the hot dog outfit one year. I'm just going to follow it up this year with my avocado costume. He's literally in the school. And this is not just like a onesie costume. It comes up and covers his head so only his little face is poking out. It is adorable, and I love it, and Camden Beck is all about just being unique and being himself. Sure, it started off with him just kind of trying to screw his mom, like, I'm just going to wear that.
Nope.
Not like that.
Nope.
Not like that.
Nope.
So now that's the thing. It's become a tradition at his school, and I just thought that was so fun and lovely. It's hard enough being a kid, but a kid that can be cool being a hot dog or an avocado in his picture, that's pretty rad. And that's my great news.
And finally, it has been 4 years since Chastity Patterson lost her stepfather. James Lignan died in 2015, and they were very, very close. She said, blood could not have made him any closer. I cried with him. I told him everything. I became independent because he took the time to love me and show me what happiness looks like. He was a perfect father figure for her. He died, as I mentioned, in 2015. Through 4 years of college, she continued to text his old phone number every single day, sending him messages about her life, telling her about her challenges, about her troubles.
She didn't know?
No, she knew. She knew. But she still wanted that connection with him, so she still continued to text his phone number. Finally, the day came in October when she felt ready to let go. On the eve of the 4th anniversary of his death, she texted him one last time, recapping everything he had missed, how she overcame cancer, how she graduated college. She finally concluded her text by saying she would always love him and always miss him. What happened next is she got a text back.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's coming from inside the house.
It said, hi, sweetheart. I'm not your father, but I've been getting all of your messages for the past 4 years. I look forward to your morning messages and your nightly updates. My name is Brad, and I lost my daughter in a car wreck in August of 2014, and your messages have kept me alive.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
When you text me, I know it's really a message from God. It's not, by the way. I'm sorry you lost someone so close to you, but I have listened to you over the years, and I have watched you grow and go through more than anyone. I wanted to text you back for years, but I didn't want to break your heart. You are an extraordinary woman, and I wish my daughter would have become the woman that you are. I'm sorry you have to go through all of this, but if it makes it any better, I'm very proud of you.
All right, Kevin and I are crying.
All right. How about that, by the way?
Oh, Bean, lead with that. You should have been first, but you got dumb candy kid and stupid avocado boy.
Needless to say, Chastity was in awe of the response and shared the messages on her Facebook, hoping that other grieving people might find peace from the serendipitous message reassuring her that everything is going to be all right. Today was my sign that everything was okay, and I can let him rest. Imagine her surprise to say goodbye after 4 years and then to have something come back through on the text.
I don't think I would want to look at it. I would be a little afraid.
It'd be terrified, right? So obviously what happened is at some point that number was reassigned. But the guy on the other end of the phone just didn't respond for all that time.
Because he was going through his whole
nightmare.
He was going
through his thing. So,
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's a hell of a story. I'm happy those two found each other. And that has been, right there, just played the K-Rock Halloween costume ball a couple of weekends ago. And now here we are in the middle of the holidays, you guys. It's Christmas time.
Sorry, I didn't know you were going to continue.
I was just excited.
Because it's Christmas time, and
right.
I thought, like, that was my cue.
I could have been. But I wasn't technically done, but I'm fine.
Okay, when you finish, say
I'm
over
fine
and
to
out.
Zip it. Okay.
Say over and out.
Say over, please.
What I'm saying is night one
Santa
has already...
Something very special in his sack for you, too.
Okay. Stand by.
That.
What I'm saying is that the K-Rock Absolute Almost Christmas night one already announced, already on sale. But wait, there's more. It's time for night two, over and out.
Did you say, do we make it now or over and out?
Over and out. Last thing I said was over and out.
But you don't say over and out.
Just over and out. Over out?
You say out.
Out. Okay.
Night two, out.
It's almost Christmas. K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2019.
Night 2. Sunday, December 8th, Honda Center in Anaheim.
I know it's Sunday. Thank you so much for coming here to watch us play. We're going to give you everything we can. Well, we're 21 Pilots, guys. Thank you so much for watching.
21 Pilots.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mumford & Sons.
Yeah. Mumford & Sons. The 1975.
Hi, this is Jack White.
The Racket Tours.
Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2019.
Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Of Monsters and Men. Listen to
the word I say. Hold your horses now. K-Rock is the reason I play guitar in a band.
Thank you, K-Rock, for having us here tonight.
The Interrupters. Lovely the Band. Matt Mason.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2019.
Night 2.
Sunday, December 8th, Honda Center in Anaheim.
On sale Friday at 10 a.m.
Sign up at KRock.com to get the exclusive K-Rock pre-sale Thursday at 10 a.m.
Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Pata Los Niños.
Driven by your helpful SoCal Honda dealers this happy Honda Day season.
Did I hear a pre-sale for street team members at KRock.com?
You did Thursday from 10 to 10. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. We were confident.
I was going to you for the information.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thursday.
And then tickets go on sale to the public on Friday, November 8th at 10 a.m. online at Ticketmaster.com only. By the way, you had me at the Rock and Tours.
Mm-hmm.
You had me at the 1975.
Yes.
You had me at 21 Pilots.
Yes.
You had me at Monsters and Men,
uh-huh.
Mumford and Sons, The Interrupters, Lovely the Band, Matt Mason. It's an unbelievable lineup for night two, December 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Again,
it's stacked.
Yeah, it's great. Again, the details are K-Rock Street Team members pre-sale this Thursday morning at 10 a.m.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Unavailable this year, Ronnie, sorry. And then tickets go on sale to the public on Friday, November 8th at 10 a.m. Again, Ticketmaster.com. One more time, the lineup for K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 2. Hit it, Steve.
It's almost Christmas.
K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2019.
Night 2.
Sunday, December 8th, Honda Center in Anaheim.
I know it's Sunday. Thank you so much for coming here to watch us play. We're going to give you everything we can. Well, we're 21 Pilots, guys. Thank you so much for watching.
21 Pilots.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mumford & Sons.
Mumford & Sons.
I will wait for you. Not your fault, but mine. I will hold on.
The 1975.
Hi, this is Jack White.
The Racket Tours.
Someday
Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2019.
Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Of Monsters and Men.
Listen to the word I say. Hold your horses now.
K-Rock is the reason I play guitar in a band.
Thank you, K-Rock, for having us here tonight.
The Interrupters. Lovely the Band. Matt Mason.
K-Rock
Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2019.
Night 2.
Sunday, December 8th. Honda Center in Anaheim.
On sale Friday at 10 a.m.
Sign up at KROQ.com to get the exclusive KROQ presale Thursday at 10 a.m. Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center in Para Los Niños. Driven by your helpful SoCal Honda dealers, this happy.
That is the Raconteurs, and they are playing Night 2 of the KROQ Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Into Night 2, you guys.
I am too. And let me just say about the Raconteurs, if you've not yet spent any time with their, I think it's called Help Us Stranger, Help Me Stranger, something like that, the latest album. It is, I think, one of the best rock albums of the whole year. It is great. And the fact that we get to see, well, you get to see them live in December, I suddenly got sad. It's the Raconteurs. Mumford & Sons 21 Pilots will be joining us in studio in about 20 minutes here on KROQ. The 1975 of Monsters and Men, The Interrupters, Lovely the Band, Matt Mason, and of course our friend DJ Jeremiah Redd. That is a great, great lineup. Pre-sale 10 a.m. Thursday for KROQ Street Team members. General public on sale 24 hours after that, 10 o'clock on Friday. Get all the details at KROQ.com.
Omar, how did this come up last week? Last Thursday, I think it was?
That's a great question.
Sleeping with your socks on?
I think we take a lot of tangents here. And I think first it went about my mom teaching me when I was young that if I wear my socks while I'm sleeping, I'll wake up with a headache.
Oh, right. We were talking about ridiculous superstitions.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I just said that.
This is Homer.
Yeah.
Or O-ring, as we like to call it.
Don't start that up again, please. that I cannot go to sleep without socks on.
Oh.
Yeah, and that
made
Allie.
Did you your mouth, Allie?
She did.
So gross.
I got so mad at Omar on Thursday. I was like screaming at him.
What is it that gives you that reaction?
If I'm laying next to a dude and I've got, you know, bare legs and all of a sudden I feel a sock on my leg, I'd rather have a bunion. I'd rather have a weird old toenail scratching me.
What?
Socks? Ew, your feet are so sweaty. That's so disgusting. Take off your socks. You're not a baby. You're not wearing a onesie. You're a grown-ass man.
That'd be awesome.
Also, I'd like to ask a question. Omar, what are these socks? Are these designated sleep socks, or are these the socks you've been wearing all day?
No, these are designated. I have a stack of regular socks that I wear, like, you know, during the day, and then I have special sleep socks. I usually, like, every night I take a shower, put on my sleep socks.
I'll be right back. I gotta put on my special sleep socks, honey.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I gotta put on my sleep
socks.
For some weird reason, my feet get really cold, and I can't go to sleep with socks
on. And you keep them on all night.
Yeah.
There have been times where I've been like, oh, my feet are really cold. I'm just gonna have socks on for a minute. But then I'll always take them off.
No. What's so gross about that to you?
Ew.
It is gross.
It's disgusting.
Why is it gross?
Because those are not designated sleep clothes. No one says, like, oh, I got to get these socks for sleep.
You can wear anything you want for designated sleep clothes.
You guys wear underwear, right? Why is that different from socks? An undergarment.
Yeah.
But
you don't wear socks to bed. It's
creepy.
It's weird.
Why is it creepy and weird? Let me ask you a question. Socks are fine, right? Socks. Fine. If you haven't touched them, they're good.
Fine.
They're clean. They're fine. The only thing that makes socks bad is your feet.
Yes. Thank you for making our point.
If they're not clean.
Case closed.
So she's saying I'd rather have feet. I'm like, no, that's the problem.
No,
socks are bad,
feet.
It's the feet.
Number one, I shower.
Then your
bed.
Socks are fine. That's my point.
No, it's all about even the rubbing of the sock against the sheet.
Oh, it's the texture.
All of it.
This is a texture
disgusting.
Thing?
Socks are not made for sleep.
No,
that's
ridiculous.
Just by science, the way they rub on the, and also if you're cold, if your feet are cold, add a sheet, bro.
No, it's just my feet. It's not the rest of my body. So
then
you've got
a circulation problem that I think we need to
get. I would rather go see a doctor.
Yeah.
I honestly would rather you put a blankie over your feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a little blanket?
Yeah.
But what if I kick it off? I toss and turn, and then I could kick off the blanket. Then I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to have to go put on my sleep socks.
It's not as weird if you staple them to your legs than wearing a sock.
Is that what you want me to do?
What's so bad about socks?
Does Cassie wear socks?
I don't believe so. And if she, you know what happens? If she does, she kicks them off during the night.
Exactly,
right.
Because your feet are so hot, it's disgusting. Then you just have sweaty feet.
But my feet are cold, so then they don't sweat.
See a doctor.
If you're laying in bed, you said next to somebody, and their feet are freezing cold, you want them?
Put them in between my legs, and I'll warm them up.
Whoa.
I mean, I meant like the bottom part, but that sounded, what? It's not what I meant at
What's
all.
What's happening?
Not what I meant.
Allie, but I'm saying that's better than socks.
Yeah, socks to bed is so gross to me.
It is gross.
I don't understand what's gross. Yes,
may I ask a follow-up question, please? And that is, how do you feel about having sex with someone while they're wearing socks? Is that a problem for you?
Absolutely. That's disgusting. Take off your freaking socks.
Unless it's a 70s snuff film, Bean. I can't even imagine.
Oh, then I'm into it.
Right. Then I can't even imagine what anyone's doing wearing socks in bed at all.
By the way, just for the record, and so it's out there, I agree with Jensen and Allie. I am also team no socks full
time.
Makes
no sense to me.
Absolutely.
Look,
team
you
no
can
socks.
Be team no socks, but it doesn't make the Allie throwing up in her mouth makes no
right.
sense.
Is it gross to you, Bean, if I sleep with my socks on?
It is. Yes.
It is. What?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Really? It
is. Yeah, that's not how. That's not. What the Lord intended.
Wow.
You guys even want to know about my stance on Uber pants?
Oh, Uber this is crazy.
Pants. So, like,
are we done with socks?
No, in the same light, I don't even want you sitting on my bed in your pants that could have been in an Uber or on a public chair. Or it is.
So I take an Uber to your house.
Yes.
And for some reason, I'm sitting on your bed. I don't know why I would be doing that.
Come up with some reasons. But absolutely.
You would freak out about that because.
Well, yes! You're sitting in an Uber or a subway if you live in New York City, and you're taking those pants and you're putting them on my bed. Nothing that's allowed outside should be put into my bed.
Okay. Well, that doesn't work with O-ring socks because
it's Omar.
They're sleep socks. Yeah,
because they're sleep socks. He doesn't use them for anything
Number
else.
Number one, I don't
they're
trust
not outside.
It. I don't trust it. But also, it's like a hygienic piece of clothing.
Listen, I wasn't aware of his Uber pants situation, and I would like to be distance? Off of Team Jensen, if that is possible.
Bean, how about you with the Uber pants?
Well, nobody would ever sit on my bed under any circumstances.
That sounds like a point, challenge though. To me. So, book my flight to London.
I don't know. I guess I hadn't. I mean, what if they're sitting on the bed, they're actually sitting on the top of the blanket or the comforter or something like that, which is not a part that even comes in contact with your body. So I think that's a little bit of an overreaction, but I'm still with you on the socks.
I'll sit alone on my island, but it don't come to my house and sit on my bed.
I will say it drives me insane when I see people put their suitcases on top of their beds in hotel rooms, though.
Oh, never mind. Now we're good,
wait,
right?
Why? It does drive
it's
me crazy.
Wait, why?
Because if you put your suitcase is literally the dirtiest thing you own.
Okay,
wait,
well,
what?
This just in... The bedspread is the dirtiest thing in that room.
Yeah, aside from the remote control.
You're ruining your suitcase by doing that.
Yeah, there's no winners in that formula, that's for sure. But getting back to Omar, stop with the socks.
Why?
Yeah, stop it.
Then I can't go to sleep. I already have problems sleeping. Don't take my socks away,
no,
guys.
No, you're good.
Okay, thanks.
We're excited that band, the 1975, is going to be playing the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night number 2, just announced.
As is 21 Pilots, by the way, who were just in town this weekend for shows at Honda and Staples Center, and they're going to be joining us in studio to talk about that and so much more. 21 Pilots on Kevin and Bean in about 10 minutes here on K-Rock. Allie!
Bean!
What's happening on this Monday?
Bean, you were sick about a week ago, and it was most likely the flu that then led to a bronchitis that then was walking pneumonia, right?
That is correct. You are my physician, and you called it.
Thank
and
you.
You were right.
Here's the thing. Nobody likes being sick. Having the flu is horrible.
Right.
But what if you got paid to have the flu?
How much? It would take
That's
a lot.
That's the question. How much would you get paid to be basically injected with the influenza virus?
Just one of those medical study opportunities?
Yeah. Researchers are turning sick days into pay days for some, quote, lucky volunteers who will be infected with the influenza virus as part of a study on how our bodies combat the seasonal illness.
I'm not going to say there's no amount that I would do that for, but it would take a lot only because I would be worried about lessening my immune system by giving myself the flu on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'd rather stay resistant. So I think I'd pass except for a really big payday.
I'm with the guy that's going to die in 5 days.
I do not do well sick.
Okay.
I am a baby.
Yeah.
Same.
I think I'm going to die every sickness I get. But I think my number is $25,000.
Okay. Here's the thing. As many as 80 people aged 18 to 50 are going to inhale a nasal spray containing influenza A or the common H1N1 strain, which produces mild to moderate symptoms. They're going to then spend at least a week holed up in a clinic where they'll be closely monitored with blood samples, nasal and throat swabs to track their initiation, size, and duration of various immune system responses and to detect the virus leaving the body.
TV or no TV? In that week?
That's a great question.
I would think there would be TV in this place.
Okay.
However, I don't think anyone in this room would do it.
How much?
I don't even think Beer Mug would do this. $3,300.
Yeah, I'd do it.
You would?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you would.
I
was kidding. I was kidding saying you wouldn't. Yeah. I'm saying A week? That's a week, and you're getting paid $3,300. Maybe you lose a couple pounds. I mean, I'm in.
Wait, not taxed.
It's not a diet plan.
Why isn't it taxed? It's definitely taxed. It's income.
Then I'm not in.
Oh, my God. You thought it was just $3,300 take home.
But the government doesn't know.
The government says, I feel bad. He got the flu. Yeah. Let him keep it.
Okay. All right.
Nope.
Okay, so everybody's out.
Oh, I'm definitely out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't even want Uber pants on my bed.
No, you don't. I didn't even know Uber pants were a thing.
Oh, see, now you know. Morning.
So Coldplay announced on Friday that they're going to perform their upcoming 8th studio album, Everyday Life, at a pair of live stream concerts in Amman, Jordan. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
Coldplay Everyday Life live in Jordan will air on YouTube in two parts, mirroring the two halves of the Everyday Life double album, Sunrise and Sunset. So the Sunrise portion will begin on November 21st at 11 p.m. Eastern. That's just before the album is released worldwide at midnight on the 22nd, which is just around sunrise in Jordan. See, because the...
Mm-hmm.
I mean... That'll be fun, you guys.
Coldplay was the musical guest on Saturday Night Live this weekend with Kristen Stewart as the host.
And?
They were fine.
Oh, no.
I feel like our friend Chris has had a bunch of Botox, though.
Oh, my.
Did anyone see his
face?
No,
he's on Saturday Night Live. No.
Yeah, I feel like he's had a bunch of Botox. I mean, he definitely looked refreshed and surprised.
Did they do all their, like, Paul Simon Africa era stuff?
They did that one, Orphans, mm-hmm. and then they debuted a brand new song, which was very pretty, which was a new Coldplay ballad.
Okay.
That I think you might like.
Yeah, that's what I'm listening for.
Yeah, they were very, very energetic. They're a good live band, as you know. They, performed part of it out in the audience at SNL, but mm-hmm. it's nice to have Coldplay back. I like those guys.
Agreed.
I cannot wait to now see his refreshed and surprised
yes.
look.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he also has a buzz cut now. Got all of his hair cut real short.
Maybe could that just be it?
Different look.
His hair is gone, so now you're focusing more on the face?
I believe there are needles, but you take a look and see what you think.
Okay. I'm all over it. Guys, the U.S., we just can't stop winning. I heard a guy say that was
right?
going to happen.
Uh-huh.
But for the first time in the 32-year history of the World Cheese Awards, the winning cheese came from the U.S.
USA! 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 USA!
The honor went to the Rogue River Blue from Oregon's Rogue Creamery. It beat out 3,803 other contenders from 42 countries. You guys, French people are real good at cheese.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't win.
USA!
We won. The cheese is cave-aged for 9 to 11 months and hand-wrapped in grape leaves and then soaked in pear liqueur. I mean, this is fancy ass cheese.
Cave age.
You guys?
They just put it in a cave and said, see you in 11 months.
France only had one cheese in the top 16.
Oh, losers.
Which idiots. One French newspaper called sacrilege. I
rejected!
Call it.
Rejected!
Losers. No yes. one wants your cheese.
Today I won. Here's my ring. I'm the winner. I won. That's it. I did well. Who did well? I did.
There's the guy who made
that
the
is,
cheese.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the interview with the guy from Rogue River Blue.
Uh-huh.
Oregon's Rogue Creamery.
USA!
Here's the thing. At this year's awards, which were held in Italy for the first time, there was a dramatic finish.
Oh.
The Rogue River Blue and an Italian cheese both scored 100 points. The chairman of judges had to cast a tie-breaking vote.
Whoa.
And if it's in Italy, I mean, you'd think that this judge would have been like,
please tell me he went U.S.
He went U.S., you
yes.
guys. And I want to buy the rights to this. It's going to be a blockbuster. In the 32-year history of the World Cheese Awards, I mean, let's take a moment and think about how historic this weekend was. And none of us knew. None of us knew we were over in Italy kicking France's ass, winning cheese crap.
I believe the president has just secured his reelection. You can't beat this.
Yeah, you can't.
USA!
You really can't.
Wouldn't you love to just talk to that guy about the process going through in his mind, which is, I can't pick against...
Italy.
I can't do that.
We're in Italy.
But I have
for the
to.
First time it's ever been hosted here. Mm-hmm. I can't. But damn, that cave aged 9 to 11 months, hand-wrapped in grape leaves soaked in pear liqueur sure did tickle my cheese fancy. It's all very weird, you guys.
I didn't even know there was a competition.
I spent 3 minutes talking about a cheese competition.
Have you ever had fancy-ass cheese?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, what's, like, what? How much is that?
It's expensive.
Like hundreds of dollars?
Yeah, but I have to be at home because I'm lactose intolerant. But I have had...
So you've had... There's cheese so good
yeah.
that you eat it and then you poop yourself.
100%.
And you know that going in and you're wow. still fine with
oh,
it.
Oh, and I know it going
so
out.
Good. Yeah, we assume.
Okay.
That.
I do not have a sophisticated enough palate to tell the difference between cheap cheese and expensive cheese.
Oh, you I think you do.
I just don't.
I think you do.
The only cheese I'm interested in is the one that's in that wheel, and then they roll it down the hill, and then
yes.
the guys all chase it and
that's
fall
fun.
And break their spines.
That's got to be cave age.
I love that.
Yeah. Have you ever had the big cheese wheel that's Parmesan, and they put the pasta in it?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, and it warms up the cheese,
that's
and
good,
then they
man.
Get the cheese, and then they put it on your dish.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
The wheel of
yummy.
Cheese.
It's amazing. And unfortunately, I have to get that to go.
Mm.
I
pooped
my pants a little. But wow, is that something special, you guys?
I made a poopy in my diaper.
That
has
was
been
live from her
talk.
cheese feast.
So much information.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. Some birthdays for you. We've got Kathy Griffin, Ralph Macchio, Matthew McConaughey, Jeff Probst, and a great birthday to Diddy.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Ladies and gentlemen, here they are after entertaining thousands of Southern Californians over the weekend with two big shows, 21 Pilots yeah! in studio with us here on K-Rock. Hey, Tyler. Hey, yeah. Josh.
How's it going, guys?
Check you guys out. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a long time. I think the last time we particularly talked to you was 2003, 2004, something like that.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
No, it couldn't be.
That's decades.
That's many years before the band even started, Kevin.
Yeah, we weren't even.
They were in high school.
Oh, yeah, we were in high school.
2013, 2014.
I wasn't
is what
even
I mean.
In
okay.
high school. Yeah. I was in middle school.
Look, math
why
is
am
hard.
I talking to you in middle school,
math
Kevin?
Math is hard. I think we ought to be asking Kevin that question. Why were you talking to him in middle school?
That I talked to when I was in middle school?
2013. With the van. He was the guy with the van.
He's the guy in the white van, yeah. the white panel van.
Outside of your school.
All right.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
So now that we've sorted all that out,
yes.
We're delighted to have you back because you are on the lineup for our night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, which we just announced minutes ago here on K-Rock, along with Mumford & Sons, the 1975,
yes.
the Rockadors
yeah.
of Monsters and Men,
yep.
the Interrupters, Lovely the Band, and newcomer Matt Mason, all on one big bill, November 8th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10. Now, you guys like doing shows like this when you're out there just for a shorter period of time than your full set?
No.
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 Absolutely not.
That's legit. That's a fair comment.
Watering down our...
Yeah.
Our
your brand?
Well,
yeah,
our honed in, crafted
yep.
show.
Thanks, guys. No, we actually enjoy trying to figure out a new way to put a set list together, especially a show like this. Not everyone, we can't assume everyone there knows, you know, has seen us play before and even knows
yeah, maybe
who we
there's
are,
Mumford
so.
And Sons fans, fans there and stuff or, like that, and you just have to win them over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we're just trying to win over the other bands.
Mm. Sure.
Who we've never met.
Do so. You guys get a chance to watch any of them? Or?
No, we yeah. don't watch other bands.
Okay.
No. We try to.
Ever.
That's you against our brand as well.
Yeah.
Is it weird for you because, let's face it, for folks who don't know, 21 Pilots, the reputation is they have one of the great live shows in America
they
today.
Do.
They're, with fewer members than anybody, they manage to do fireworks and confetti and streamers and crowd surfing, and you have it all going on. So this has got to feel like... kind of a stripped down show for you, which I would imagine artistically would be challenging, but also entertaining for you.
Yeah, but you know what? Chris Angel does it. So
are you comparing yourself to Chris Angel?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Why not?
I mean, have you seen his show in Vegas?
I've not, no.
It's pretty underwhelming,
okay.
honestly.
So you're equating yourself with Chris Angel, underwhelming.
Well, I'm just saying you guys are putting us, you know, in a pretty tight box with all these other bands. I mean, the truth is we're just going to pull off a Chris Angel type set.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Just to kinda
expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
All right.
I suspect you're underselling it. I suspect it'll be great.
Well, that's our tactic, too.
Yeah.
No, let me, that. Lower what expectations.
Right.
Sure.
And then you come yeah. in average and they think you're really great.
Yep.
Yeah. I like it.
Your fans are the most rabid going, it seems like, these days. I mean, people line up. Don't they line up for, like, days to see you now? To buy tickets and to get into venues to see you guys?
Yeah, I think it's because of the rabies.
I'm sorry?
The rabies?
The rabies.
Yeah. He described them as a rabid fan base.
Oh,
I just picture
gotcha.
Them, like,
okay. All right.
actually having a disease.
They all have rabies.
I just thought they've gone bye-bye.
No, we have, our fans are pretty awesome. I think that, listen, there's a lot of bands out there when they get to this level, when they're doing arenas, their pit, their GA section, general admission section, there's this constant pressure to make it seats, to ticket each seat on that pit. You know, you've been to a show where there's, you know, sitting in the pit, and there's actually a number of reasons why people do that. One, you can kind of fit more people on the floor because fire code only allows a certain amount of bodies per square footage, all that stuff. It makes the floor feel more full because you can fill it out better. And then also safety reasons. You know, when you get to a pit that's larger and a crowd that's larger, a lot of these venues and promoters don't necessarily want to take on a lot of the risk that's involved.
Can I say that I just hate that?
I know. So we've tried to keep our pit GA and just open, and we want to continue to do that. We think that the energy found in a pit that's standing is so important to our show. We want to continue to harness that. With that being said, it promotes kids wanting to get in line and see how close they can get to the stage, and then that naturally turned into kind of this I don't know, a bit of a culture to lining up and getting to know people and learning the person's name that you're going to be standing next to all night when you get into the show. And it's been a really cool byproduct of something that we didn't really expect.
You talked about when you put out Trench, you talked about you're not sure how songs will go over in an audience until you get a response from them.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a mixture of the crowd and you guys.
Yeah.
Does that help with the pit? With people standing instead of just sitting there sort of passively?
I think one of the toughest shows we would ever do is for a standing room only, or for a seated room only. Sorry, standing room.
Now I'm confused.
But what is your guys' show? Is it seated?
No, it's GA.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised.
Am I sure? Yes, I'm sure.
Oh, everyone's then it's going to be a good show.
You're going to have a great time.
I take back the Chris Angel comments.
You can still do Chris Angel in a pit.
We've done a couple of the venues in America that everyone's like, you got to do this place, but it's like all. It's like church pews or like seat, you know, like built-in seats.
That sucks so much.
The Ryman in Nashville. It's like where Johnny Cash did.
That's the place.
The place.
Everyone's seated, and so you don't get the energy that you
would.
Not
for y'all.
It's garbage, honestly.
It's garbage.
Yeah. Okay.
It does make it tough, though.
I've not heard that in reference to the Ryman. The mother church of country music is garbage, but okay. These are the voices of Tyler and Josh from 21 Pilots. Before we take a quick break and come back, we have much more to discuss with you. I want to ask, because I mentioned the crowd surfing. You guys, this whole tour, and I guess in previous tours too, have been out like surfing on wood, right?
Yeah.
And don't you take the drum set out at some point too?
Yep, whole drum kit.
How do you even do that with the audience holding up the drum kit? How is that even possible?
We have strong fans. You have to understand.
There's so much room for disaster.
There is, but it requires us to be present at every show. I don't know if that makes sense, but a lot of bands who play every night, they
just
can
go
kind of
motions.
Exactly. Yeah. You can kind of just tone out and go based off of muscle memory. But when you're interacting with a crowd that's different every night, a stunt like trying to put an entire drum kit on a crowd.
Have either of you been dropped?
We haven't necessarily been dropped as much as we've fallen.
Okay.
That's what he means by being present. It's if something goes wrong, it's actually typically going to be our fault and not their fault. So, yeah, there's like platforms that we'll put out. I've definitely fallen off.
Yeah, actually one of my family's favorite things to do, especially around the holidays, we get together and they pull up the Apple TV and they type in 21 Pilots falling compilation.
Oh, I like it.
So we just gather around and just make sure our heads don't get too big as a major label band.
Yeah. Look at that. That's you.
I love it. Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 21 Pilots is going to be part of the party at the K-Rock Absolute Almost Christmas Night Number 2. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. A quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Just announced minutes ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, Night Number 2 of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We could not be more delighted to say, once again, Mumford & Sons are on the bill, along with the 1975, the Rockin' Tours of Monsters and Men, the Interrupters, Lovely the Band, Matt Mason, and who did I forget? Oh, yes, 21 Pilots here in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, Tyler and Josh.
Best for last.
Yeah. Thank you for, exactly. Thank you so much for doing this. I want to ask you about, because we played a couple of weeks ago, I came across your new version of The Hype, the new location session version of The Hype, and I brought it into the guys, and I was so happy they hadn't seen it yet, because I was like, you're not going to believe who covered The Hype. Let me play this for you. You got to hear this version of The Hype. You know the 21 Pilots song that we play all the time? Wait till you hear this version. And I put on a little piece of it, and they're like, hey, this is really good. They totally reinvented this song.
Hey,
what's
I don't
up?
Like the dumb voice that you're doing for us.
And it was you guys covering your own song in a completely different way. Tell me about not only that one, but about the whole location session idea.
Yeah, so I don't know. I've always described a song when you're writing it, it's kind of this, I don't know, wild animal that you're trying to capture. You're trying to tame it. You're trying to understand it, harness it. There's something about once you finish writing a song, you've kind of, in a sense, completed the mission. You've solved the puzzle. And then this idea of going back to a song that's already been written, already been tamed, and approaching it from a different angle. It was really exciting for me to be able to do that because I could be a little more fearless with it. The idea I know has been proven to be good. Maybe the melody or the tune itself is good enough for me to be a little rougher with it, try a different approach. And so we've taken a few of our songs and, I guess, reimagined them. Remixing sounds like I'm you know, air horns and all that stuff. That's not what we did to it. We reimagined it, which is like a delicate version of remix, I guess.
Is that difficult?
No, it's actually
at it from a different angle.
It's actually really fun. And if you think about it, even though we're playing a song like The Hype, we play it live almost every day. The process of us writing and recording the song happened a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was, it's far enough in the past that reapproaching it in a different way felt fresh and very natural. So we did a show, a festival in Berlin, and right around that time, just kind of took a stab at reimagining the song The Hype and rented out a studio there, and the rest is...
Both are fantastic.
Thank you.
And so different. Yeah, really great. Really, really great. Now, do you guys do many covers in your shows?
We used to do covers a lot.
Favorite? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite?
Oh, man.
Brick House?
Brick House?
No.
Come On, Eileen.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of our favorites. What's so fun about
that's fantastic.
Is if you listen to that song, the tempos, I know that there's a bunch of shifts and changes to that song, but even inside of particular parts of that song, the tempo is moving all around. And for us, guys, we're trying to create a track to it. We're trying to, you know, understand what's going on in the instrumentation. We dive into the stems of that song where it's like, what is going on here? And it makes me appreciate a song that's as crazy as that, that it even worked.
We actually made our own click track to that song by like just opening up the waveforms and like putting in a click on the
just visually
because it's not they didn't pick a tempo and like, all right, this is the tempo we're gonna stick with for this song. They were just feeling it in a live room somewhere, I guess.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. You think it was on purpose, or they just got together and started just jamming?
I think the drummer was just excited. Just kind of like on the fills, just rushed everything.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys again, the voices of Tyler and Josh from 21 Pilots here on K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show. I want to ask you guys, because our world was turned upside down last week with back-to-back announcements of the return of My Chemical Romance on Thursday, and then Friday, Rage Against the Machine announced that they were also coming back. Either of those big news in 21 Pilots world?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
both of them.
Both those bands have been influences on us, for sure.
I think what needs to happen is you guys need to break up and go away for 7 years.
What are you saying?
The world will go berserk when you get back together.
I don't know. Maybe when they they're going to come back and then we'll be exposed as a terrible band. And we will be going away because we're forced to.
That's
going to
happen. Hey, we didn't want to go away at you guys. Hey, wait.
I hope they pull it off.
I do too.
You know what I mean?
I love both of those bands, so I hope too.
I think that some people are just going to be interested just to kind of see how, if it works, almost wondering if it's going to, you know,
almost
not
skeptical.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling for it.
Same.
I think especially what Tyler's saying, when if you go away, hopefully on a good note, and then you're missed, you don't want to come back and ruin it.
Yeah,
or make it.
You don't want to be Michael Jordan playing for the Wizards.
Agreed.
Because then you've ruined your chance to go out as a legend.
Also, Josh and I are extremely curious about what will our show look like when we are much older. And
could you have imagined what your show looks like now, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
When
you were in grade school when we first talked to you?
When I was seven.
We were plotting and planning.
Yeah, no, I think that we always had this vision in mind, honestly. And that's why we were able to, I don't know, manifest it, because only Josh and I would feel comfortable talking about it with each other. Because if we, you know, mention it to our parents or our friends, like, you know, the idea of playing arenas and, you know.
They would think you're crazy.
Yeah, it just sounds insane. But what we haven't figured out yet is when we're, you know, if we're still able to be doing this when we're 50 years old, what does Josh's backflip off the piano look like?
We might have a lot more harnesses and wires and...
It's more of a back roll.
Yeah, I guess.
Back somersault.
Yeah, so not that either of those bands, MyChem or Rage, are that old, but they're getting there, and I hope that it works. That's all.
I think they're both good enough that it will.
I think
they both have hardcore fan bases that will accept them with open arms. Yeah. I hope. I mean, I'm with you guys.
Yeah, totally.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but it is so great. I mean, considering we haven't talked to you since middle school, catching up was really fun today.
Those of you just tuning in, I started the interview by saying it was 2003, when in reality it was 2013.
Right.
As you pointed out, math is hard. You pointed that out. That's fine. But thank you for all the great music. We have spent thousands of hours listening to and playing you on K-Rock, and we appreciate you so much. And we're so psyched to see you guys on December the 8th at the Honda Center. So thanks for doing that as well.
No, seriously. Yeah. We appreciate everything you guys have done for us, and we can't wait to come play the show.
You bet. Continued success. 21 Pilots.
I have no idea what's going on. It's World Famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:37.
Am I getting my mics confused?
Yes, we're thinking of Golic and Greeny. Well, that's Mike and Mike, and Mike Francesca's no longer
who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's just Mike Francesca.
He's like a longtime New York like radio.
Oh yeah, he's a
Mike
million.
And the Mad Dog.
Most people hate him, but you know
he was Mike and the Mad Dog. That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, exactly. They were Mike and the Mad Dog. That's what it is. Now different than Mike and Mike. Hey guys, that's the voices of our friends Jen and Cody, the host of Swings and Misses on Radio.com, a full service 3-hour sports show from 10 to 1, and of course available on podcast. I just want to say before we hit the big intro and talk about sports this weekend.
Oh, big intro! Yeah,
we had the opportunity.
I almost forgot we had the big intro.
Oh, okay. We had Kevin and I had the opportunity to guest on your show a couple of weeks ago, and you guys are living in the lap of luxury up there on the third floor, man. I couldn't believe how comfortable your studio is.
Yeah, it's awesome. I have to wake up Jen quite often during the show.
That's because you're dull.
Well, that was hurtful.
Sorry, is that because you're dull?
Yes. Yes.
You know, they had the extra real estate up there in the newsroom. I don't know how they like having us up there because I feel like we just caused massive amounts of chaos. But they built us a really cool studio up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And the show is a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for having us. And we've had a bunch of people have contacted. Hey, you guys mentioned that you were on a podcast. What was it? That was the podcast. It was Swings and Misses. So if you search back a few days, you'll find Kevin Bean's appearance on that.
I mean, they did the Newlywed Game, and we got 1 out of 10.
Yes. It wasn't a very impressive performance.
It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
We thought you guys would know each other so well, having been together for so long.
More like know each other at all.
Right. We've never met. A lot of people don't know we've never met.
After they did that, they came into the breakfast with Green Day, and Bean said, "Allie, if you had to guess Kevin's favorite food, what would you say?" And I said, "Oh, ice cream." And he goes, "Exactly." And I said, "Or mac and cheese." And he goes, "Exactly." And I said, "Or peanut butter and jelly." "Exactly." And then Kevin goes, "No, it's lasagna." Everybody yelled at him.
Everybody started yelling at me. Everyone yelled at me.
Have you ever talked about lasagna?
Are you just going through a lasagna phase?
No, I've loved it my whole life.
He's never mentioned it one time on the radio in 30 years. He's never said the word lasagna, and now he's acting like he's Garfield. He's literally never said it.
No, he then goes, "Ask my daughters. It's my favorite thing that I get on my birthday." I'm like, "You're such a dork."
Also, that's his birthday meal.
It was very lasagna.
Well, what else do you order when you go to Maggiato's? They bring it out for the whole table.
We're going to Sparrow's.
I've never been more universally yelled at than that.
We were so mad at him, so it was not Bean's fault.
Okay,
thank you, Allie. I appreciate that. All right, let's talk some sports. Hit it, Steve.
Jen and Cody. Go together like sports and trophies. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Sports.
Week 9 of the NFL.
Are we still sticking with that?
Sinatra just spinning in his grave. Yeah. Never going away.
How do you explain a very, very good team like the Green Bay Packers looking as bad as they have ever looked in their history yesterday and their loss to the Chargers?
I think Aaron Rodgers said it best. He's like, they just kind of got caught sleeping. They've been kind of feeling the hype and listening to the hype of everyone else and was propping them up, and they just got caught. That's really all that they could explain it for.
Do you think that they came into the game just going, well, the Chargers aren't having a great season?
They thought it was going to to be a home game. They had so many Packers fans there. It was a home game.
Every game is an away game for the Chargers. Like, whoever they're playing, exactly. It's a home game for them. It's crazy.
We swore we saw our producer Ann sitting in the stands. You know how they all have obviously the cheese heads? Mm-hmm. There was a woman sitting there with, like, a cheese grater head on. And I was like, that's Ann. That's got to be Ann. She's going to be insufferable the rest
the
of the day.
She's the Chargers fan.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's awful. But also they
So were the Chargers good enough, or was it just Green Bay being
a combination of the two?
A combination of both. They fired their offensive coordinator last week, so I didn't really know what to expect, but I feel like it kind of was like a group mind on the sidelines this week. And when you think about the Chargers' losses this season, they've all been within 7 points.
Yeah, they find creative ways to lose.
Exactly.
They've lost three games in the last minute of the game. It's just they find innovative ways to blow every game possible.
And they won games that were basically handed to them by other teams that they weren't supposed to win. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like the Chargers have been in this perpetual identity crisis the entire season.
Still, this far in, they don't know.
But at four and five, is this a turnaround chance for them at
it's
all?
It's a shot. Right now, they're in the hunt. Yeah.
It's
that's
the
for
most
sure.
Chargers way possible to finish the season. Because we're just so used to seeing them finish the second half strong. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is when they turn
it
on.
And Thursday night's a big game. They're playing the Raiders. I'm excited.
We probably won't be doing a show on Friday because Ann won't come into work.
It's either Ann
or Cody. There's going to be a standoff.
It's going to be great.
Speaking of teams that looked terrible for the first time all season long, how about the Patriots finally getting their first loss of the year?
You know, there was one moment in that game that just somehow broke their back, and that's when Edelman let go of a fumble that was returned back for a touchdown. That was going to give them the tie. And after that, the wheels just kind of came off. They were just grounding and pounding the Patriots over and over and over. And it was the first time all year the Patriots' defense looked human.
Had no answer.
No, not at all.
And
they couldn't stop it.
It's also the first time they played a real team.
Come on.
A bat loss to the Browns, sure, but also kind of a real team.
I mean, they're definitely a better team. Their offense is more explosive. The Ravens' offense is extremely explosive. They're extremely fast. Mm-hmm. Jackson is in the hunt for
an
that
MVP. Which is
he's amazing.
Crazy. No one would. I mean, that would have been a bet to take in Vegas for him to be
MVP. I just worry about his longevity because I feel like he's got shades of Cam Newton. And
or
we
like
all
Randall,
see
right?
Exactly. And so it's just like you just know with running quarterbacks, like their bodies break down so much quicker. So you're hoping that he can find a way to pull off all the impressive plays he's making without destroying his body.
And no dogfighting.
That would be great. That would be great.
The MVP is like a three-man race right now. Him, Watson, and over in Carolina, what's his name? Guy who can run really, 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 really fast.
McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey, right?
Yeah, those three guys are really kind of the three-headed monster for the MVP right now, and it's each one is almost single-handedly carrying their offenses.
So that leaves the Niners alone and undefeated now, right?
It sure does.
Mm. Let me ask you a question about being undefeated. It seems like it works against you most of the time.
The Patriots can attest that.
I know that you'd take it, but like
you can sometimes just get complacent.
How many teams have a great season?
I'm sure you and Bean have great shows, and you're like, man, we are killing it. Mm-hmm. And then you come in and you just lay an egg some days. And you're like, we bought into our own gimmick.
So, Kevin, in your mind, what's the right amount of losses to have? Like, you want to lose, like, every sixth game or something are always aware that you're human?
No, but I'm serious because look at the Dodgers. Look at LAFC. Look at all these teams that dominate throughout the year. And then all of a sudden, they're like, they get into the playoffs and they just can't do anything. It seems like maybe it's not a curse, but it takes too much energy to keep it up.
Or if you're
that
hot,
perfect season going into the Super Bowl.
I agree.
Yeah, there's a very good. I mean, I played on teams with the exact same thing. Especially when I was in college, we went into the end of a college season ranked number one in the nation overall, and we just played awful. We just put so much pressure on ourselves to be number one that we forgot to be number one.
Do you think when you got into the playoffs, that's when you just go, we have this because we're so good?
Yeah. It's easy to go in a little complacent, and it's not even on purpose.
Right.
You just get to the point where everything becomes routine. Oh, we're the best. We're the best. People are picking you apart on the outside looking in. And
gunning for number one. I mean, I'd much rather be the Niners right now, who are kind of quietly undefeated. Like, they're not the ones necessarily getting all the attention the same way, you know, Patriots always do or whatever. Like, I don't want everyone trying to come for the crown. I'd rather be right in the middle. That's why I'm on the Kevin and Bean show.
That's right. No danger of being number one.
Give me a break. When they called me, I said, this is exactly the spot I want to be in.
The show is called Swings and Misses. It's very entertaining for sports and non-sports fans alike. Radio.com from 10A to 1P weekdays. And, of course, daily podcast available on demand wherever you find yours. Jen, Cody, thank you so much. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, thanks. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean show at 8:53.
And Lovely the Band is one of the many great acts just announced for K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night number 2, Sunday, December 8th at the Honda Center, including Mumford & Sons, 21 Pilots, the 1975, the Rockin' Tours of Monsters and Men, the Interrupters, and Matt Mason as well. You can get all the details at KROQ.com about ticket on sale. But I will tell you, there's a pre-sale on Thursday morning at 10, and then the general public at Friday morning at 10 o'clock. All right, took care of that. Great news coming up right at the top of the hour. Allie is here now. Time for What's Happening on a Monday.
Bean, you're the first person I thought of when I heard this story.
Tell me.
Postmaster General?
No. You know how much Bean loves
7-Eleven?
No.
Candy corn?
No.
Record of Edmund Fitzgerald?
No.
Taylor Swift?
No.
IHOP?
Yep, that's good. What are we missing?
You know how much he loves that eggplant emoji?
The president's? What?
Wasn't aware.
No, I didn't have that on the list.
I did.
I didn't have that.
That's why I loved you guys naming stuff, because all of those things should have been it.
My complaint, if you recall, it's not that I love it so much, complaint it seems small. Yeah, right. It just seemed a little tidy.
Well, Facebook and Instagram have banned the sexual use of eggplant, peach, and water drip emojis.
What? It's getting more and more like communism every day.
The How emojis, will Bean leave messages for Donna on Facebook?
That's what I'm saying. The emojis will still be allowed in captions, but can no longer be used in a matter that suggests anything sexual.
Like, anyone is reading those specifically?
So you can be like, hey, had a great eggplant tonight, but instead you can't, like, show a hot chick, put the eggplant emoji, then the water drip emoji, because that's pervy.
Ridiculous.
It's getting more like communism, we're going to do this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Guys got a point.
People have their fun.
Yeah, there are new community standards, which were officially enacted in September, but now is the time. It was reported that under the new terms, pairing an eggplant or peach emoji with any sexual expressions now qualifies as, quote, sexual solicitation.
Then I guess you won't be needing this sausage.
It doesn't sound like a drop. It just sounds like he just said it.
Then I guess you won't be needing this sausage.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sure I got a badge for banging.
If you find that a user has used the emojis in a sexual manner, Facebook or Instagram would have the right to remove the post. And if it happens repeatedly, it can result in the user's account being deactivated. Kevin, you've been on the wrong side of Instagram.
I don't know anything about that.
So just be careful.
Instagram is great, and I love everything they do.
That's all I'm saying. Be careful.
Maybe we'll need someone to come in here and explain to us what the emojis mean. Someone like Slang Man.
I thought you were
saying... No, I'm just saying, we should have Slang Man.
All right. That like would have been a good time to hit a Slang Man drop.
My friends totally went ghost on me.
There
you go. I just was saying, for reals, we should have him... Because, as you know, he was scheduled to come in and meet us, and then I had a baby that day. So he was not able, and I've been hoping...
We've never had him since.
Never. And I've been hoping to have him in to say things like this.
I'm going to put on my jams.
I think we're good.
All right.
I don't know.
Tip of the hat.
I'm sort of in love.
Guys, some box office over the weekend. Not a good start for Terminator Dark Fate. It met a grim fate at the box office this weekend.
Well played.
Yeah, snagging just over $27 million, which... they're saying is basically a relative bomb because it was supposed to make a lot more. Reported budget of $185 to $196 million and a reported $470 million just to break even. So that's got to be with like marketing money and all that added on. But that's insane, you guys. What do you think it was? That people just were busy? Didn't interest them?
I don't think people wanted to see the Terminator franchise as much as everyone thinks they did. Does that make sense?
And this is like the sixth movie.
I know.
They've kind of outworn their goodwill.
Yeah.
But people are saying this is not a hard thing. It's the, you know, taller than Brad Williams award. But they say that this Terminator is the best one since Terminator 2.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I can only speak for myself, which is I wanted to go, but then I had other things come up, and so I didn't really force it in like I usually do.
Ew. God, Kevin.
Yeah. Didn't force it into my schedule like I usually do.
Is that what you're calling it?
Mm-hmm.
Schedule.
I'm with Braunschweiger.
Well, coming in second.
Then I guess you won't be needing this sausage.
Joker, number three, Maleficent. Number four, Harriet, and rounding out the top five, The Addams Family. But good news, we've got Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse sequel has a release date, April 8th of 2022. Mark it down. It's going to be
April
happening.
8th?
April 8th.
Oh, shoot.
No, what do you have?
Chef school.
Chef school?
That's good improv right there, everybody. That is
wow. Chef school.
Good improv.
I mean, earlier I said I had a bar mitzvah the night before, and I thought that was bad improv.
Not a cooking class, but chef school.
Look.
Kevin, you're a gift. Some birthdays for you. Matthew McConaughey, Ralph Macchio, Kathy Griffin, Jeff Probst, and Diddy.
Every day I'm going to come to y'all with a message about how I feel. And this is going to be about how I feel. However I feel at that moment, I'm going to let y'all know. So there's going to be days I feel happy, sad, I'm stressed, I'm angry. So that's what it's called. The segment's going to be called How I'm Feeling.
Cool.
Forward to that.
And that's...
Jensen, knock, knock.
Yeah, who's there?
Interrupting Cal.
Interrupting.
Moo! Interrupt the interrupters. We're playing interrupters there.
Hey, man, maybe you need to leave early? Like, just, like, get your stuff all ready or whatever?
Interrupting Cal.
To get to London? I mean,
I'm sorry. I love that joke.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
I'm confused. Allie, your cable guy is playing Staples Center? How's that even possible?
It's not my cable guy. My cable guy just so happened to look like Trevor Noah. But this
I
is
saw
the
photo.
Actual,
that was Trevor Noah.
I know. It was like Trevor Noah if he totally worked out, which I said I wouldn't say anymore
yeah,
because Trevor Noah got mad that I said it looks like a buff Trevor Noah. But here's the thing. Trevor Noah is going to be playing at Staples Center on December 6th. That's his Loud and Clear tour. How would you like to go on December 6th?
Yeah!
Kids would.
Tickets on sale right now at AXS.com, but let's take caller 20 right now, and you're going to get a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah Loud and Clear at Staples Center on December 6th. Good luck
Yay!
To you. Well, thanks, one kid. That's real nice of you. Kelly Clarkson, you hear about this? Little Vegas residency?
Nice.
Huh?
I didn't know.
Is there nothing she can't do?
Didn't
seriously.
She hosted a daytime
show? She's hosting her daytime talk show, which is where she made this announcement that she'll be headlining a Las Vegas residency starting in 2020.
It's She's also a judge on The Voice, by the way. Let's remember that's a several-day-a-week job.
Yeah, and this is her tour, Invincible. So she's going to start her Invincible concert run on April 1st at the Zappos Theater at the Planet Hollywood Resort
and
Casino.
Oh, sure, April 1st.
No,
I get it.
She said that. She's like, it isn't a joke. It's real. Invincible will be her first Las Vegas residency. It's going to run April to September with concerts also taking place in July and August. Tickets go on sale on November 8th.
I'm going to tell you that if I had the opportunity, I were in Las Vegas and could see Kelly Clarkson, I would see Kelly Clarkson.
She's
like
great. She is great.
Show.
Remember when we had that conversation where you thought she was the highest selling American Idol
I don't listen to the show.
Ever? And I
don't
I said,
hear the
no,
show.
It's probably Carrie Underwood. And you're like, no, Allie, I'm definitely right. I'm right about everything. And I'm
that
like,
that probably
ah,
didn't happen, but
Clarkson!
I don't listen.
Then I said, oh, I don't know. Agree to disagree. And then Twitter lit up and people were like, just say you're wrong, Bean.
Stopped listening about 2 months ago. So
yeah, I get it. I get it, you guys. Anybody see the video of Jason Momoa feeding a Oreo cookie out of his mouth to a 9-foot Kodiak grizzly?
I did see that. It seemed ill-advised.
Well, someone that's talking to you right now, Bean, has fed a bear a marshmallow out of her mouth. It's not smart.
Okay.
But I did that during a live shot, and it was the most exhilarating thing I've ever done in my life. Mostly because the people that train the bear said, just make sure that when you put the marshmallow in your mouth, take your hand down immediately. Otherwise, it's going to think that you are taking that food for yourself after it's in your mouth, and it will swat at you, and you could die.
No, no. At that point, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do it then.
No, at that point, I was like, oh, no problem.
No.
And then I hear in my ear from the producer, we're coming to you early for a tease. Get ready. And I was like, oh, God. What? And then I did it, and it happened, and it was awesome.
Is this where your hope to die by being hugged by a bear and squeezed to death came from?
No, I've always thought it would be cool to die by bear, but I've always loved bears so much. So to be able to feed a grizzly bear a marshmallow out of your mouth, that's like life changing.
No, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I didn't do it for my new Apple TV series called C, which is what Jason Momoa did it for. I just did it. It for the gram. Actually, sure. there was no Instagram back then. It was just for the news. And my phone rang slightly after that, and it was my mother calling, and she cussed me out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Telling you not to do it?
Yeah. She's like, you're such a little a-hole. What are you doing?
Did she call you cuck?
What?
It would be the wrong term.
Yeah, she's total cuck.
Wrong. I'm going to take a guess right now and say it's a bear.
It is a bear. That's what we've been talking about. Bean, your last day is Thursday.
Correct.
And then you guys head to New York for your second Hall of Fame ceremony.
Why don't they leave us alone?
You're going into another Hall of Fame. Which one is this? This is the
radio
broadcast?
Hall of Fame.
No, you're already
radio.
In broadcast. You're going to radio.
So this is the Radio Hall of Fame
in New York.
So you're going to do that. But here's why I'm bringing this up, because then you're going to be like going, okay, back to your other house, like trying to get this all settled before you move to London.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be decorating for Christmas.
No, that's very true.
How about that?
Will not be decorating for Christmas.
Call it Boxing Day in England?
That's the day after Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. That depresses me to no end.
Yeah.
Because you're
not having Christmas decorations.
You're an early Christmas person.
Absolutely. I love them.
Person. Well, since you guys are going to be entering the Hall of Fame on Friday, I am going to decorate my house for Christmas on Friday as
too early
for Bean.
Not too early. Too late.
Not too early.
How late?
Too late. Is Halloween past?
I always do it the second weekend of November, because I like a Christmas house done for Thanksgiving, because then people see your house decorated when they come over. It's delightful. But the reason
how many people haven't come over for Thanksgiving?
17 minus 17.
So that's zero.
Yeah, okay. Sure is. A new study has found that decorating your home for Christmas will make you a happy person. A happier person.
She's a sociopath.
The study,
and a bitch.
The study found that decorating for Christmas can trigger pleasant childhood memories and make people feel more social. When you're putting up decorations, you're thinking of happier times with family and friends, traditions you engaged in. Thinking about those family happy memories stirs up happy feelings. So not only a mood enhancer, they also say that a dose of holiday nostalgia also encourages people to do good.
She's a total loser.
So guess what? You're more altruistic if you put up your stuff early. So.
And she's going to lose her house.
I hope not.
I don't want to slut shame her, but it's very apparent that she's a definite tease.
Mm. I mean, this whole family is very judgy, right? Good Lord. She
loves being known as the queen.
I do. That's very true. But, and again, and I've said this forever.
She's a poo person.
That's true as well. If you're into doing it and it makes you happy, do it.
She has two vaginas.
And I have two vaginas. So right there. Just saying, you guys.
She went bungee jumping naked.
I mean, that is Geraldine, true. That's true.
Geraldine.
But whatever. Did I say Geraldine? Oh, my bad. Sorry. I was mad at a woman named Geraldine when I said that.
This is not a sane person, folks.
No, that's true.
He was talking in the mirror. Guys, a woman ran into her ex-boyfriend working at a local restaurant. Mm-hmm. Problem is, he was supposed to be dead.
Whoa, what? Hairy to me.
What? A young woman named Rachel from Australia thought her boyfriend was killed by a biker gang that he owed money to. While visiting a family restaurant with a friend, Rachel remembered that her ex-boyfriend's brother worked there. So she asked the waitress if he was working. And the waitress responded that the brother wasn't working, but Rachel's ex actually was. The guy that supposedly died years earlier.
Did he fake his own death to get away from her?
He faked his own death because she loaned him money.
Oh.
He only paid back $200 of like $700, never received the rest, and he owed a ton of money to other biker gangs.
Oh, okay.
So him and his mom essentially devised this whole story that he was killed. And then she sees him serving tables at a restaurant.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
He stayed in the same city, didn't do anything to his face or anything. He deserves to be killed by the biker gang.
Oh.
I do have to tell you this, that we did a call-in topic one time of people who faked their own death, and we had nothing but calls.
Yeah. Could have done it for hours.
We were thinking, oh, what are the chances anyone listening?
Yeah.
Ton of calls.
Should we do it again?
I'm in.
Let's do it again.
I mean, Bean's pretending he's moving to London just to get away from the show.
Right.
Which I think is mean.
Allie, I had a girlfriend who broke up with me to move to South America, remember? And then I ran into her like 6 weeks later at the mall. I'm like, wait, I thought you were moving to Colombia. She's like, I just told you that.
Oh, she didn't even keep the facade up.
Right. Yeah, she,
no.
She broke, yeah.
She gave in.
Told me she was moving to Colombia. Then I bought it.
She's a bitch. She needs a heart transplant.
You okay? Did someone remind you of that story, or do you remember it?
No, it's been told to me. I don't remember the person at all. I just know it's a thing that happened.
Yeah. Okay. I love it very much.
My God, she's something special.
Some birthdays for you guys. Jeff Probst, Kathy Griffin, Ralph Macchio, Matthew McConaughey, and Diddy.
Hello.
Hey, Puff.
What is?
Yo, buddy, it's Billy Bush. Hey, man, listen, you got about a few minutes just to chat about the awards last night?
No, I'm having sex right now. Can I call you back?
Are you really?
Yes.
God, you're the best. Should I email?
I'll call you back.
Should I
got the number. Call you back.
I love that.
Love you, man.
Diddy just wants to get off the phone. He's like, should we connect by email or what do you want to do?
Why is he answering his phone?
Good question.
Billy Bush.
Really good question. Yeah, agreed.
Billy Bush.
Yep.
That's what that was.
Thanks, Allie. 5 p.m. commercial free tomorrow morning and all new Kevin and Bean show. Would you take a pill if it would erase all of your bad memories?
No.
It's a real thing.
Really?
That's what we're going to find out tomorrow.
I don't think I...
Good teeth, everyone.
I don't think I have that many memories
story.
Left.
It's her story,
and she's grilling
it.
Me.
You guys going to chef class after this with me?
Bean already took that pill a long time ago. People are dumb, and comedian Jimmy...